Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and you're very welcome to another night of Vin is off again. Obviously, tonight it's Vin on Sunday, but it's myself and Paul Cotty are covering the show tonight and for the next 2 weeks. And Paul, are you there?
I am, Ray.
You are, Paulie. We have a very special guest tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Coming up at 9:15,
yeah,
we'll have Billy Maguire, the president of the IRB and the holder of the Sovereign Seal of Ireland.
Yeah, so looking forward to that whole chat with him. And what, look, tonight we're going to have an interesting show tonight because we talk about different things, right? And we mostly talk about the courts and things like that and how to make all this simple for everybody so that they know what's going on when they go in there. And we try and broach little bits, different bits of it every week. So that's another thing we'll be broaching tonight a bit later on. And we'll be having a chat about what is a mortgage and what do you think you're paying it back and stuff like that. And basically explaining what you expect from the bank maybe and what they might have that they might have that you might want to see and things like that. You know? So, Paulie, have you any news for us?
No, not really, Ray. Just, I was picking up something there earlier on Facebook about Sinn Féin doing a U-turn on the water charges.
Jeez.
It's over in Donegal.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was, I think I put her in chat there earlier on. But right, a post got to do with Sinn
Féin. Just having a quick internet search here.
It's just that, it's a policy change, shocking, as Sinn Féin MPs say yes to water charge. Donegal now.
Right, you wouldn't just stick that link in the old chat box there, because I'd like to now read it at myself, Paulie.
I will do. I just came across it there earlier on, and it's a bit like what I've been saying it all along about Sinn Féin hijacking things. And I think people are getting Sinn Féin a four saying that they'd pay out of their own pocket and stuff like that. You know, and then they came out after that further on into all this protest and they made a statement saying, I remember hearing one day that they'll try and abolish it within the first 4 years.
Well, why would it take...
Try,
yeah, there's no we will. So yeah. It's kind of a half a promise.
You know, Yeah, so it was just the way they came out wearing all that. I'm actually putting it into chat there now, so...
Yeah, okay, I do see it there now, yeah. It's that chat there, folks, DonegalNow.com, news policy, change shock, as Sinn Féin MEPs say yes to water charges. Why are they calling them MEPs if it's Donegal? Members of Parliament, yeah?
Yeah, well, you see, I'm not sure. I didn't read into it myself fully yet. So they might be just like over the north, where they're voting up there. Do you know that way? And they're keeping it quiet to the people down there.
Yeah, I know. Look, no, you have to look at it because they say they're an All Ireland party, and if that's their policy in one part, you might be expecting that might be their policy in the other part. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, people are overseeing as well, like. I think they said they'd do away with the property tax. Now, as far as I know and I'm aware of, they brought in the bedroom tax up to north and they're on about replacing them with a bedroom tax down here. You know, so that's really on the agenda of de-sizing the family dwellings and, you know, like if your family had you worked all their life and did a 4-bedroom house and the kids moved out, they'd have to de-size after a while because them rooms are not being used. Now, even though them parents might die and pass that on to their grandkids or whatever it may be, a larger family, but they're really being put in a situation where they're going to have to be downsizing.
That's another thing we'll talk about after we speak with Billy Maguire, which is coming up in 7 minutes, folks. The other thing that we're going to talk about is people signing a mortgage and something that they do and they're nescient to it, yeah?
Absolutely. Well, I think that's the most important thing, I think, with a lot of people coming onto people's internet radio station or out there on stream and all that, is nescience. I didn't know. You know, and it's a great thing because we were nescience to a lot of things. Now we're starting to learn and have a bit more knowledge of what's going on. So we can't blame ourselves for something we didn't know at the time. You know, and that's where honesty comes into things as well, like an honest mistake.
Yeah, like we're always saying an honest mistake. And what is an honest mistake? It's when you do something, but you didn't know you were doing it because you didn't know you were doing wrong. You know, so it's an honest mistake. I made a mistake. Yeah, hold on. I hold my hands up. Yes, I did make a mistake, but I didn't know I was making a mistake when I done it. I was nescient. I should have known that. I employed somebody that to tell me what I was doing here, and they didn't disclose that. And I signed it, so yous will probably, that's more or less it, isn't it?
Absolutely. As you said, Ray, like, we'll cover that a bit more later on in the show, maybe the second or third part of the show and that. And yeah. I think with Billy's aspect on things and the information Billy gives us and stuff like that, he keeps giving out, I think we'll cover other stuff related to that.
Yeah.
As in oriented to today's events and how that would relate to what Billy's, the information what Billy's saying and stuff like that, if that makes sense to anybody.
Yeah, well, it makes sense to me. You know, but like okay.
Yeah.
But then I'm a little bit, I suppose, maybe I'm a little bit more clued in, you know, so that's where we are, you know?
Look, as we said, it's like, Billy gives us a good insight to the history of the perspective, disillusional, privatized, corporated god beings up there in the Royal Oireachtas. So that's a mouthful for people, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
You know, so he gives us
He tells us what we had, what's still there, and all you really have to do is retake that.
Absolutely. I think he tells us what we did have and what is still there and what we can claim back as ours.
Yeah, and it's ours. And all you have to do is accept it. And we talk all the time about acceptance in the courts and the accepting of a contract and this and that and the other. So really all you have to do is reach out and accept what Billy is telling.
Absolutely.
And take your sovereignty.
I just see a quick joke in here from Gary O'Do-Nothing. Ray and Cotty, please ask Billy if the passport is also our license.
I might discuss that before Billy comes on quickly. Have we time? Yeah. Passport. Who issued the passport?
Absolutely, Ray. And I was going to say that. The passport is issued by the provisional government and the airport is run under their structure.
Yeah.
It's under a corporated structure, you know, so it's... They're giving you permission and they're giving you a piece of paper to use their structure.
Yeah.
You know, so if you get a piece of paper from outside their structure, which would be say if it was a license with a sovereign seal, that is outside their structure. So I'm not sure if they'd permit it.
Yeah. They would. I think they'd have to accept it. Yeah. But you see, that mightn't be any good if you were rushing to get on a flight at say 6 o'clock in the morning, you're in Dublin Airport and you're trying to get on with one of them passports and they're saying, well, that's not really a passport because they don't know what the sovereign seal is, the person that's looking at it, you know, so that could be a problem.
Absolutely. Well, I would have thought then as well, it would have been a case of, as I said, like they built the structure and it all came afterwards. So if it was built under the sovereign government structure, it'd be different.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
You know, like as in the courts and all that, they were there beforehand and stuff.
Yeah, they were belonging to the sovereign people.
Yeah. And they're a different corporated business and so forth.
Yeah, exactly.
I think people forget that it is a corporated business, the whole lot of it, whether it be the courts, the transport, the local councils, the airport, they are all privatised. You have a private government, so.
Okay, I just get and see something there that I have to look at. Look, what we're going to do, Paul, is we'll talk about that a little bit after the break. And we're going to take a little song break here. And when we come back, we'll have our guest, Billy McGuire, on the line. And we'll have a chat with Billy, and then we'll get into all this, Paul, yeah?
Absolutely, yes.
And welcome back there, everybody. And we're very well. We're back on Vin on Sunday nights. This is me, myself, Ray Hall, and Paul Cotty, and we're live with our guest, Billy Maguire. How are you, Billy?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, I did have the flu for the last 3 weeks, but thank God I'm over it now. And I'm looking forward to Easter and the 100th anniversary on Easter Monday of the Rising, 1969. Well,
we'll be seeing you at that, but like, you wanted to come on tonight, Billy, because you have something.
I did, because the election is on at the moment, and all these politicians going around the place. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Billy. Yeah, the politicians going around the place.
Yeah, you know, but the name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of Era, and there are five governments and five constitutions in the state, the Sovereign Republic of Era. And you have the British government in Northern Ireland. You have the six-county government in Stormont. You have the provincial government in Leinster House that was imposed by King George V of England as a British apartheid system for the 26 and six counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State, and a provincial government on the 6th of December 1921. And you have the European government, and you have the sovereign Dáil Éireann government that was elected by the will of all the citizens of Éire in the 1918-32 county election, by the will of all the people of the 32 counties of Éire. And the first four mentioned governments, they do not recognise the sovereign government of Dáil Éireann by the will of all the people. And I think that's an absolute scandal at this, for the 100th anniversary. And as you know, I'm president of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, who founded the state. And as we're asking that they would honour that in 2016 for all those volunteers and citizens' army, Cormann Amann, Inina Hearn, you know, all those organisations that went out and gave their us for a better life, and that they would honour that sovereign government. You know, you have to have sovereignty. You can't be going around lying to people anymore and telling lies and deception. Where are they getting their sovereignty from? And the answer is they don't have it. And I think that is, you know...
Billy...
Yes?
Sorry, Billy. They don't have their sovereignty. Why do they not have their sovereignty?
Because on the 6th of December 1921, King George V, he usurped the sovereignty of the sovereign citizens and of the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, and he imposed that British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland. And in August 1919, he declared that Dáil Éireann was an illegal assembly. Dáil Éireann was an illegal assembly. Who did he do what they call an illegal agreement with on the 6th of December 1921. You know, you can't just go into a country. And the point of the whole issue is, today I was listening to David Cameron talking about Britain's sovereignty and the sovereign government, and they're going to strengthen that and what they're going to do. And they're all coming out, all the English and British politicians, talking about sovereignty. But what they fail to remember, to recognise, is that the Queen is royalty. That's what the crown is, royalty. And that's pomp and ceremony. Every war in planet Earth was started by crowns. And the heart is the sovereignty. And that's where the crown of England gets her sovereignty from. It's from the heart, it's not from the crown. And they should realise that, and that's always been the conflict here for 800 years, that where are they getting their sovereignty from? And if you take... You can go back in the history of your life and you'll see it. You'll see Cromwell on his coat of arms, the sovereignty, he had the sovereign symbol on it. You'll go back to 1155 when Pope Adrian gave it to Henry II to build his empire and the fleur-de-lis, and that caused the Hundred Years' War. And sovereignty, and that's what, if you read our proclamation, how many times do you see sovereignty? And that's what they gave the lies for. If you haven't sovereignty, you're a slave. And, you know, to talk about the great Roman Empire and all that, you know, but the great Roman Empire was run on slavery. And the British Empire was run. Every door, those empires, you can always ensure they're run on slavery. And that's what you'll see it as a free, independent, democratic republic. And that's, I'm giving out about that we have those five governments and we have five constitutions in the state. I mean, for such a small country like ours, we should be the best governed state in the world.
Well,
and instead
could,
we're the worst. What?
It could be, Billy, you know, and it still
of course,
could be.
And it should be. There is no reason why. And it should be the best governed state with five sovereign governments, they call themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't, one of them don't recognize the sovereign Dáilíren government. And you have five constitutions. You have the sovereign constitution by the will of all the people in the 1918-32 county election and ratified on the 21st of January 1919. You have the Free State Constitution imposed by King George V that was written in the Shelburne Hotel. And you have De Valera's 37 constitution. And if you look at De Valera's 37, the great republican, he says, the name of the state, and I'm reading from it, the name of the state is ERA, or in the English language, Ireland. The name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of ERA, as in the proclamation. And Article 5, Ireland's a sovereign, independent, democratic state. Ireland's a sovereign, republic, independent. How could he leave that out?
Well, he abandoned that in 1926, in all fairness.
He did. He was colluding with, in 1937, he was colluding with the British, and they wouldn't allow him to put in.
He was colluding with the British in 1917, yeah?
He was indeed, and I can read it for you, and if you want me to read that, I'll tell you from, because I knew all those people, great people. In 1917, there was a divergence of opinion as to the strategy. It became apparent between De Valera and the revitalized IRB. Eamon De Valera was a reluctant society member, and he distanced himself from his former comrades in the IRB, arguing that the organization was no longer needed and the campaign for national independence. In contrast, Lynch, that would be Dermot Lynch,
yeah,
was adamant, as was Michael Collins, that the IRB campaign could continue and that it was only through IRB methods independence would be achieved. We can achieve full independence now because David Cameron it's all going to be about sovereignty, sovereignty, sovereignty. And when De Valera went to America in 1919, you know, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Fenian Republic had organized. He got such a wonderful welcome in America. He couldn't believe it. And the money that was given, and it was James McGuire, chairman of Friends of Irish Freedom, that collected that money. And he, of course, he put two and two together, and he founded Fianna Fáil. But on the money that was collected for the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and Cumhainn Gael founded Fine Gael, and there are only two provincial governments, you know. And the big thing about that happened in America at the time, you have to have sovereignty. If you don't have sovereignty, you're a slave, and you have to have a passport. And I was telling you earlier that I was over in Paris at the Irish College. And coming home, in Beauvais Airport, the security was unbelievable. This was in May, before anything happened in Paris. And there were all these security people around the place, and we all had to hold our passport and our boarding card in our hand. And there were lovely young fellows there from Sligo Hill College. They were over, the teacher man and the lady, they were showing them Paris. But not one of them knew what was on their passport, and none of them knew anything about the tricolour flag. These were young fellows now doing leaving this year. And the security, they were going mad. The head fellow came over to me and he asked me about the passport and about the driver, and I was telling him all about it. He said, why don't they know that? They come in here, if you don't know what's on your passport today, he said, you're a terrorist. And he said, that's what you are. And how do we know who you are if you don't know when you're asked a question? Oh, they were absolutely raging about the whole thing. And I mean, there's no reason why that they shouldn't know.
That passport that they have, Billy, okay, that's a passport issued under the provisional government. It's only a provisional passport, yeah?
No, it's not. It's got air on it. If it has air on it, it's a sovereign. You see, this is where they're always being smart. They have taken the tricolour flag, as you know, when it was brought here Thomas Francis Marr, who was, you know, the Fenians were around, and so were the Young Irelanders and that. But on St. Patrick's Day, 1858, the tricolour flag with the green nearest to the pole, that was adopted by the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood as the national flag. And it's their flag, and they keep that in trust for the sovereign citizens of Éire and the sovereign Dáil Éireann government. And the provincial governments are using that illegally and fraudulently. And that's what's going on. And that's what's going on with the sovereign seals. And you'll get something for the income tax now. There's no Éire underneath it. If Éire isn't underneath it, who are you paying your taxes to?
Right.
Well, I was going to ask a question there, actually, got to do with that, the sovereign seal and stuff, Billy. How's things, Billy? I've rang the Royal Oireachtas a few times myself, and right. I've put a question to them about the flag that they're hanging with the gold fringe and about the harp with the circle around it. And the answer they gave me was that the harp is a registered logo, and the fringe is a ceremonial flag.
The harp is the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. It's the first, it is the God's greatest gift to mankind, how he could build his civilization of planet Earth. Every child in the world is born sovereign. And that's where the Queen gets her sovereignty from. It's not from the crown, or nobody gets it from the crown. The crown is royalty, the harp is sovereignty. And this lies and deception that's going on up in the Royal Oireachtas, the Royal Dáil and the Royal Oireachtas, putting up, pretending that a British admiralty gold braiding on our tricolour flag. And as Dermot Lynch took down that tricolour flag from the GPO, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Fenian Republican Brotherhood, put up that for 1916 on the GPO. And that was the Sovereign Republic of Éire. And there were only provincial government at the time, and the whole purpose was to establish a sovereign government. If you read the proclamations, you see it on it, and you can see on having organized and trained her manhood through her secret revolutionary organization, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and through her open military organization, the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizens Army, having patiently perfected her discipline, having resolutely waited for the right moment to reveal herself, she now seizes that moment, and supported by her exiled children in America and by gallant allies in Europe, but relying in the first on her own strength, she strikes in full confidence of victory. And we declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland, and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies, to be sovereign and indefeasible. Nobody can change that. And could you answer a question for me now? Who dissolved that sovereign Dáil Éireann government and the Sovereign Republic of Éire that was elected by the will of all the citizens of the 32 counties in the 1918 32 county election and ratified in the Mansion House on the 21st of January 1919? By the cabinet and the executive of the Supreme Council, and in Vaughan's Hotel, the GHQ, where all that was done, and by the sovereign Dáil Éireann government in the round room. Can you answer me the question? Or can anybody of your listeners answer me that question? Who dissolved that government?
Well, I certainly can't answer it, Billy, because I don't know.
Well, is it?
Well, can any of these great learned judges, are these great top class citizens, how about these people, these secretary generals of departments and that, and the salaries they're getting, and the expenses and the pensions they're getting? And if you go to Article 20, all money matters must be initiated from Dáil Éireann only. But Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House. It's the Royal Dáil and the Royal Rock. If you read the feast days book, and you'll see it all there. Bulba Hobson wrote it, and Sir Stadera, and you know, it's very clear about the Crown of England, and the King has to be part of this, and the King has to be part of that, and you have to be subjects to the Crown law. Well, you're not going to be subjects to anyone.
Well,
you know, the people here are sovereign, and that's what it is. You should know what's on your passport. And when you go, and it's going to get worse in these places, going into these countries now, because there's so many people going in, and you have a sovereign. We have a sovereign government, and it is a scandal that those four governments I mentioned would not recognize, acknowledge, or respect that sovereign government by the will of all the people. And our own provincial government. And you know from going to on the 21st of January, you know, in the Mansion House, and where the stage was ratified by the will of all the citizens of ERA, and by, as I've just said, the sovereign Dáilíren government and the executive of the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the cabinet in the cabinet room. And you know, there was one politician once, and his wife was the Lord Mayor, and Cathy Sinnott was there. And other than that, I never saw a civil servant or a politician or a member of the judiciary at that. And yet they're sitting in the High Court with our sovereign seals and our triangular flag.
Sorry, Billy, there was something actually I was going to butt you there. I got to do with the 21st. The RTE gave recognition to the IRB this year.
That was an overnight success. 97 years.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it a lovely ceremony?
Yeah, but what I noticed was when I watched the clip on RTE and all that, the first thing I noticed was what they more or less said was the IRB giving recognition to the Fourth Dáilíren, the 97th commemoration of the Fourth Dáilíren. But yes. I know, and some of the listeners know, that's not true. The 24th of January, outside GPO, was given recognition to Ireland's Independence Day.
That's exactly. But it did give recognition to the first. I mean, they should have been at the Mansion House as well, you know. And they've never turned up, never once. And I think, but it is coming about because in Europe and that now, with all these countries going in, you're going to have to declare your sovereignty. And we got into Europe. You can't sit at the table in Europe unless you have a sovereign government. We have a sovereign government. I've mentioned the five governments we have. And surely we should be the best governed state in the world. And we should be the happiest citizens of any. And we should be the wealthiest, because all the wealth should be going to our citizens. And that's what I'm saying. And we can do it. And we certainly can do it now. Because we're getting the breakthrough. If Britain leaves European Union, where does the sovereignty go? Does it go, we stay, we have the sovereignty, we have to have the sovereignty back.
Well, sorry there, Billy, for cutting in again. There's a little clip here, Cameron talks on English sovereignty.
That's it today.
Will I just run that now?
Please do, because I only barely heard these things. I don't have all those facilities, you know, for playing these things back in that.
No bother. The technicians in the back here have it. It's 39 seconds. It's 39 seconds.
Sovereign citizens.
Well, the sovereign people are walking together tonight, anyway.
Great.
We've 39 seconds of a clip here, folks, so if you want to just listen in here on a sec.
Yes, of course. If Britain were to leave the EU, that might give you a feeling of sovereignty, but you've got to ask yourself, is it real? Would you have the power to help businesses and make sure they weren't discriminated against in Europe? No, you wouldn't. Would you have the power to insist that European countries share with us their border information so we know what terrorists and criminals are doing in Europe? No, you wouldn't. If suddenly a ban was put on for some bogus health reasons on one of our industries, would you be able to insist that that ban was unpicked? No, you wouldn't. So you have an illusion of sovereignty, but you don't have power. You don't have control. You can't get things done.
I love that word, illusion of sovereignty.
Well, it's a bit like the illusion of a doll, isn't it? When they took the flag.
Yeah,
away.
Well, our politicians are marvellous at the illusion of that they're in Dáilíren. They're not in Dáilíren. And what I took really exception to was Enda Kenny came out, I think it was the 3rd of February, when he when he said he was dissolving Dáil Éireann, and he was going to the Áras, to the president, to dissolve Dáil Éireann. Enda Kenny is only a provisional Taoiseach, and he can't dissolve anything. And Michael D. Higgins is only the provision and usurper president, and he can't dissolve anything either. And they should stop telling lies to the people. Nobody can dissolve Dáil Éireann, and it's written in the Sovereign Constitution, of which I will read you now just the first few pages, the first page of, if you give me the chance to do it.
Absolutely.
The Sovereign Constitution, this is the first constitution by the will of all the people that everybody ignores. Volunteer Republic of Ireland, IRB. To thee, most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we, the people of Ireland, dedicate our constitution and beg the guidance of the Holy Spirit that it may in consequence with thy divine will and contribute to the greater glory. Amen. This constitution shall be the constitution of the Republic of Ireland, proclaimed in arms on Easter Monday, April the 24th, 1916, and established by the will of all the people of Ireland on January the 21st, 1919. The first article is, the sovereignty of the nation is inalienable. That means it can never be changed by anybody. And you can never interfere with the sovereign. Either you have sovereignty or you don't have sovereignty. And the point was, I was listening to an Englishman, they had on there, obviously his name, he was, hold on, I can't find it. He was, anyway, I can't find him. He was Sir George something or other. And he said, you can't share sovereignty. He's correct in that. You can only, sovereignty is different from the Constitution. The Constitution is by the will of the citizens. But sovereignty comes from God. And that's the difference. And on the heart is the covenant. It's the first computer known to mankind. The first four strings, earth, air, fire, and water. And we should understand what sovereignty is. Every living creature, even a tree, a river, that's all sovereign. Fish, all our animals, everything is sovereign. You're a sovereign. And it's the first four strings. It's man's intellect and reason and his five senses. And that gives you nine. That's what the Queen has. And she claims to be, here in one block, that she's equal to God. Whereas we have the sovereign Trinity. And that's the sovereign seal, the tricolour and the ohm stick in the heart of the psaltery. And that should be proper. I mean, it's a disgrace to see it down in the four courts. And it's been desecrated since the 6th of December 1921. You know. But anyway, I like one. Anyway. The sovereignty of the nation is inalienable. It is therefore not within the competence of any generation of people to surrender, that sovereignty which each generation holds in trust for the nation. The question of surrender of national independence may not be submitted to an electorate. Subject to that fundamental principle, we hereby declare that all authority in Ireland, legislative, executive, and judicial, and all powers of governance are derived solely under God, from the people of Ireland. These powers are inherent in the people alone, by virtue of their sovereignty. They must be exercised in accordance with the principles of liberty, equality, and justice for all. Any legislation not in accordance with these principles is hereby declared to be null and void. And the last, I won't go on, only one more, which is very important. And that's Article 10. The land of Ireland belongs to the citizens of Ireland and to them alone. And if any bank or anybody comes around trying to take your house, if it comes to it, let them take off all the slates and all the concrete blocks and everything else, but you keep the land. That's yours. They can't take that. That's yours, and you should stand up for and be a sovereign. If we had a sovereign government, what a wonderful country we'd have. You know, people are sovereign, and they live as a sovereign. Look, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, they abhor war. They abhor violence, corruption, maladministration, propaganda, lies, and deception. Sovereigns don't live like that. You don't have to live like that. You shouldn't be under pressure trying to rear and educate your children. You know, for the state, and paying taxes to God knows whom. Where are those taxes ending up? The Crown of England.
In the Vatican.
And the Vatican. You know, we don't even know whether, and people should ask. And when you go into court, you should ask, you should write in and the sovereign constitution. I mean, if they had, if, and you should say to the court, or if the judge says anything to you, you say, judge, when was the sovereign government of Dáil-Éireann and the sovereign Republic of Éire dissolved? And who dissolved it, judge? You know, that's the answer. Let them answer the question. They're paid well enough anyway. It came out.
In all fairness, Billy, from what I've seen of the sovereign constitution being used in the courts, they just they don't have jurisdiction under it. So
of course they don't, because as Michael D. Higgins was under the crown,
he's not under anything,
judges.
Billy, because he never
took
his oath.
He's supposed to be under the crown, but he doesn't reckon that. Well, he does. He prefers to be under the crown, but he appoints judges for misfortunate people in houses, to evict people out of their homes.
Yeah, but
I mean,
like the courts can't be right either, because he appoints the judges and he's supposed to swear an oath to God, and he's an atheist, yeah. So he can't swear anything.
That's true. He doesn't believe in God.
Well, I think on top of that, look, the Royal Oireachtas, the people up there, it's a private registered business, a corporated business.
You're absolutely spot on. But you have to have a license to run a business.
Absolutely.
If you're stopped in your car and a guard comes up and he says, I want to see your license, say, yes, guard, there's my license. Now can I see yours?
Absolutely.
Or if any business the same, if you haven't got a license, you're illegally trading in the state, you're supposed to, and none of those corporations or banks have licenses. If they had, they'd all be outside the Mansion House on the 21st of January, because all licenses are only legal and valid and bona fides from the 21st of January to the 20th of January each and every year. And I can tell you, there's very few licenses issued in this state, the Sovereign Republic of Éire. And it's going on and on. If everybody, you see, that's the thing about sovereigns. You get it back. It's worth your while if you're a sovereign citizen and you have to pay for services. But you get back, you get back double. But the money has all been taken. You're just a slave, because it goes on and on and on. The debt goes on and on and on. And the sovereign debt is the responsibility of the Crown, British government, and the British people. That's what the sovereign debt is. And isn't time all that now? We have a wonderful chance now with Britain shouting about sovereignty and asking them, where are you getting your sovereignty from? And that's going to be the question.
Can I ask you a question, Billy? If the UK leave the EU, right, and it means that Ireland will have to go with it, I hear that they may leave Northern Ireland or the six counties up there, but I don't see that as being part of Britain, so that couldn't, that can't carry the sovereignty, can it?
But Ray, hold on a second. We have a sovereign government. We can either stay in or stay out. We have five governments in the state, and they should be all working for the sovereign citizens and the sovereign government. If they're here, and they are here, I've named them out.
Yeah.
And why is one politician, do you ever hear a politician talking, and the peace reconciliation process, which I was very much involved in, so was my father and my family. And that was, you know, the University of Livingston's in Winnipeg. I often speak about it. It's now just gone. They've just got rid of the whole thing. And the whole thing is just so deceptive all the time.
Isn't it true that we could not join? Sorry, I'm suffering from a cold myself, Billy. Isn't it true that we could not join the EU until 1973 because General de Gaulle objected to us joining sovereign? He said we weren't sovereign.
No,
we were under
but it was we didn't have a sovereign government. We have a sovereign government, but it's not recognised by those four governments I said. And we have a sovereign government. That's what we do on the 21st of January. That's what we do in the Mansion House. That's where the sovereign first and second Dáil-Éireann. It wasn't that it was only it was up and running. All the institutions of the state were all sovereign. Michael Collins was the Minister for Finance. Just to give you one example. On the 6th of December, 1921, he had to step down from the Irish Republican Brotherhood and to sign that illegal agreement. And he was only provisional. Provisional. That's what he was. If you read Statutory, you'll see all that. And if they would just give us our Vaughan Sertel papers, all those records are in there. And that's what we want to see in this year. And we want to see... Sorry, Ray?
Sorry, Billy. Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, I was listening. The Vaughan Sertel papers, they're down in Limerick University. Is that correct?
Well, I gave them to Limerick University, you know, because Willibank, that's where, after Vaughan Sertel, all those papers came back to Limerick, to my father, down in Arthur's Quay, our business, and they were up there over the offices and in the back office and various with a huge volume of papers and all the records. And my father then, I suppose he said, you know, when in Willibank, he decided, look, I better put him away for safekeeping. And the carpenter in the business that time was Billy Maloney. And there are two, in Willibank, there's a thing, it's up on the website anyway, I'm told. And you'll see the two valleys in that roof, and they were put up there. Now there's another shed, which is known as the butler's pantry. That's where the hog up, the printing press, and various Collins' bicycles and various other things were kept. But all the memorabilia and, you know, swords of 1798 and all guns, Tom Clark's gun that he's posing on his monument on Sarsfield Bridge in Limerick. And he's beckoning to the people, read the proclamation, this is your sovereignty. And all that, and all the old bullets and cannonballs and everything else. And that was all up there and in Willibank. And, so when the university, I mean, my father really, and a small group of people, they worked so hard to get a university for Limerick, Clare and Tipperary. Now it didn't start as a university. Ed Watts was wonderful. But it was an Irish Republican Brotherhood university. It was technologically, a technology rather than academia. That to teach young people to how a proper work ethos. That's what sovereignty is about. And that you can achieve, you know, your full potential as a being. It's all about your sovereign being. And that's how you understand sovereignty. I said about the four strings in your five senses. You know, that's common sense and how it works. And, yeah. And, anyway, they started, first in the university, then it was higher education. And, you know, Chuck Feeney was to buy Vaughan Sertel because Brendan O'Regan had gone, he was a great friend of Chuck Feeney's, and he was the one who taught Chuck Feeney all about duty free. And he was buying Vaughan Sertel for the peace, reconciliation, and prosperity. That's where it was founded. And, he was going to extend Willibank as, you know, to build a proper theater, I suppose, there for students and that from all over the world for peace processes. And, what did they do? The peace, reconciliation. And for Hugh Coveney, that gutted Vaughan Sertel. And he lost his life over that. And there's a letter written in Cork, and it is an absolute scandal, because I met Hugh Coveney the week before he passed away. And he was so distraught. And the letter is, I've never read a worse letter in my life of the cabinet and getting rid of Vaughan Sertel, where the stage was founded by the will of all the people. And you look, and that university, they got it with a bank. And they pocketed the money. That's what Hugh Coveney told me. Fine Gael and Labour were in power. And they, what did they do? The money that was put aside by Chuck Feeney for Vaughan Sertel and for the peace, reconciliation, and that was his whole interest in coming here. And he was giving $6 million a year, I think Brendan O'Regan told me. And he was putting up the money for that. And I don't think even Labour were properly aware, but Fine Gael pocketed the money for themselves and their own agenda for Fine Gael, and they destroyed Willibank. And no one knows, Tom O'Donnell won't say, where he put all the Vaughan Sertel papers. And Tom O'Connor, who was, you know, he was in our firm as well, and a very nice person. He was a carpenter as well, and he got the contract to take down Willowbank. He was told it wasn't big enough and they were going to build a huge, you know, sort of university campus for the peace reconciliation process. And he told me that 3 van loads of papers and documents and proclamations and all those things were taken out of the house before he took it down. And of course, what the entrance you called me told me that Fine Gael pocketed the money. Isn't that a scandal?
It is a scandal.
And that has been, the peace process now, has just been scrapped by the provincial government. They don't want the truth. And the Queen's visit, that took 10 years, I know, and the Earl of Hankin took his seat, as did Archbishop Eames and the Presbyterian people. And they got Paisley to say yes instead of no, because I know from what went on. And I can tell you that it was the Queen's visit to lay the wreath in the Garden of Remembrance. Remember now what I said, that the Crown of England is not the sovereign, it is the heart. And within 100 years, she had to claim her sovereignty. And that's what she was doing in the Garden of Remembrance in Dublin.
And is that the reason why she went to the seat of the High King of Ireland?
She's claiming her sovereignty, and her sovereignty comes from the heart, not the crown.
And would that have to do with Pope Adrian in 1215 when he gave Ireland to the...
All that comes into play. And 1155 and all that going back. And
Strongbow went. Yeah.
But it's our sovereignty. It's not anybody else's. It belongs to it's a Celtic Christianity.
Yeah. Like the three sisters, I hope you're going to tell me about this. Now we have the three sisters of sovereignty, Erhu, Dervla and Bamba, isn't it?
Well, I only do the harp side of it.
You only do the harp, right. Okay.
I was actually going to come in with something there, Billy, and it's got to do with the peace process and stuff like that. Ireland only has a peacekeeping force, yeah? We don't have an army as such.
No, we don't. We have a defence force, Ogle Mahearn.
Right.
Irish volunteers, 8 strings, the Guard of Shikona are 7 strings, Ogle Mahearn. They came on the 21st of January 1919. The first day was in the Mansion House in Dolairn.
But the way I was looking at things a while ago, I was actually having a chat with Ray, just on a perspective that I had personally. Right. The reason why we haven't got an army as well is because we have an occupying army still over here.
No, there's nothing to do with that.
No?
You never take the harp to war. It never goes to war. The Hebrew people took it to war, and that's why they were... I mean, if you look at King David, he was teaching all that. Every country in the world has had that. Look at Tutankhamun, that's his sovereign seal, the harp sign. And you know the information. The first string is the golden thread. It's your measuring tape plumb line. It's written in Om, which is the first structured language of mankind. Second is hieroglyphics. And you look at the harp, how the abacus, how you build your ship, how you build the wheel of, you know, the wheel, the curved side is measured the circumference, and the strings are the spokes, and the eye is the hub of the wheel. That man can travel. It's all on the harp. That's where it comes from. That's where your ancestors and my ancestors all knew that. And that's where it comes. We still have it. And it came up through, right across, I'd say, up Africa and up along to the Mediterranean. And that's as far as they could go, was Hibernia, which was they thought the world was circular and flat. They didn't know it was globular and circular. And if you look at the strings, when they touch one another, you know, every map you see, how you make your map. Excuse me. And I still have that cough. But anyway, we were talking about the sovereignty. That's all part of your sovereignty. And if you look at, there's a wonderful exhibition on in the Rotunda, is it the Ambassador is the cinema there?
Yeah.
And it's on there for you. Bartle Darcy is doing it. And, you know, we talk about 1916, which is coming up. You can't understand 1916 until you go back to 1912, when Sir Edward Carson founded the Ulster Volunteers. And in 1913, they became the UVF Army, because Guinness's gave 100,000, Lord Rothschild gave 100,000, and Robert Kipling gave 50,000 to buy top-class German guns. That was treason under the crown. And they never did anything about it. But and in 1913, then, the intelligence officers of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, this is all in the Vaughan Sertel papers that we want to see. And they founded the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizens' Army as a defense force. Because I told you that with the HOP, you never go to war. You have to, you cannot go to war. And that's why I said the Irish Republican, they uphold that. And you know. But anyway, in 1913, they founded the Irish Volunteers as a defense force. And in 1913, they were looking for volunteers to collect the intelligence on the Crown Forces and on the RIC. And Sam Maguire, who was chairman, or he was secretary of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and my granduncle Tom, they were chosen. And Sam, who had, he was Church of Ireland, and he had done the exam for the civil service in Britain. And he was sent to the post office in London. He got himself into that office that all the intelligence of the world, of the Crown Forces were going through. And Tom, my granduncle, was sent to India, to Calcutta in India. And India's independence came out of the Vaughan Sertel paper, the Liverpool Salt Tax, which I've often spoke about. And President Geary, the fourth president of India, he was here in 1912 studying law. And he knew all that what was going on, because India's independence is, we read the sovereign constitution, it comes from their constitution is our sovereign constitution. And their flag is our tricolor flag turned the other way. That's how close we are. And they come, as you know, to the Mansion House to honor that, where they got, they couldn't unite the GA, that's our organization, my choosing really fronting for the, and Sinn Féin is the political wing of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, but that's nothing to do with all these splinter Sinn Féins and Fianna Fáil.
I was actually going to say that now, the difference of today, what people have perspective of Sinn Féin today is the provisional Sinn Féin under a provisional government. And there is a big difference there.
A huge. They uphold. We had, that's the mandate we were with, that the Irish Republican Brothers were given in the 1918-32 Act. You talk about Dáil-Éireann. The sovereign Dáil-Éireann is the 32 county mandate. You can't do it any other way. It's not a 26. A 26 is only for the provisional government. You know, and this is what's going on. And this is, we're supposed to accept that. And we're supposed to accept second-class citizens. We're not second-class citizens. We won't accept it either. You want your children to be sovereign citizens. And that's the old Celtic Christianity, before Roman Christianity. And it's B.C., the harp is B.C. And I said the harp is the covenant between God and man. It's all that information. It's your plumb line, how the pyramids of Egypt, you can't build a structure without that information. And the sovereign seal then, the Book of Psalms is the Psalter. And our sovereign seed, 12 strings, is the psaltery, the instrument that accompanies the psalms. It has two images, from wrong to right, evil to good, man's intellect and reason. You put it up to the mirror, see the harp of the psaltery. And what a wonderful history we have. And you know, but that's what's so important. And you're going on then for what we were talking about, Vaughan Sertel. In 1917, my family bought Vaughan Sertel. And they donated £1 million sterling to the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, and to set up the sovereign government that's written, that I've just read out in the proclamation, and by the will of all the people in the 1918-32 county election. And surely it's not too much to ask, in the 100th anniversary, that our sovereign government would be honoured by everybody. And I don't understand people here who do not want a sovereign government, who demand, they should demand a sovereign government. And when a politician comes to your door, you should say, what government are you representing? Is it the provincial government, or the British government, is it the six-county government, or is it the European government, or is it the sovereign government? We want a sovereign government that was, and it was established. Because James McGuire was chairman of Friends of Irish Reason, but they collected all the money for all those institutions. And sure, all the money was robbed. Well, most of it anyway.
Well, but
anyway, sorry?
I'm just going to have a question there for you, Billy. Radar, he helps Direct Democracy Ireland.
Right.
And he's running around with them, and he's quite busy, which I think for a political group, though, one of the best choices out there. Myself, I'm not into voting, and I won't register because I won't give recognition to what I call a de facto bunch of banksters. But how, like in today's system for people voting, how can they make a change to the system that's out there?
Well, if they stand up and the politicians who's coming around telling them all these, I mean, I told you when I heard Enda Kenny saying he was dissolving Dáil Éireann, Enda Kenny doesn't have the right to dissolve Dáil Éireann. Michael D. Higgins doesn't have the right to dissolve. He can only dissolve if he gets with the permission of the Queen to dissolve the Royal Dáil and the Royal Rockers. And I mean, it's time to, I mean, if you listen to the radio, and you listen, you hear about Sinn Féin said this and Sinn Féin said that. And yet, I don't know what they're talking about. Sinn Féin, they should say exactly which Sinn Féin is saying this and saying that. And the door is open for all these organizations to come back in again and have unity for our sovereignty and a sovereign government. And that's all we want.
Well, I was going to say that. Sorry, I was going to say that on back to provisional Sinn Féin then. They seem to be pushing Sinn Féin as a political party, a major party this year and stuff like that.
They're coming back in because they see the sovereignty, the proclamation. I mean, where are they going? They can never have a United Ireland. It has to be a 32-county mandate. We don't need anything. It's already all put in place for us. All we have to do is demand it. We do not want to live, because it's always going to be boom and bust with the provincial
government. Are they going to try to steal it, Billy?
Sorry?
Are they going to try and steal it?
No, they're not. They're acknowledging the state that was founded and funded by the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the Fenian Republican Brotherhood.
But will they uphold it?
Well, we're hoping they will, and we're hoping that on Easter Monday, that all that old civil war politics and hatred will be put to one side, and people will come out as the, you know, and I always say about, you know, Tom Clark and that, because you, Kathleen Clark taught me all about the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Fenian Republican Brotherhood, but she was actually a member of it, so were other women as well, and as you know, Christine is our chairman today.
I do, I know Christina well.
The stories that Kathleen Clark told me about what happened to Tom, you know, he was skin and bone. He wasn't able to stand up. He wasn't able to even sit at the table. He was really, it was a disgrace, and he was beaten up for, 15 years. And, I mean, it's scandalous what happened to him. And as you know, when he came out of, when he came back from America, if you know in Limerick and you know Sarsfield Bridge, you'll see his monument there. And that gun, I told you, his son and Kathleen, his mother, they gave my father that gun. And because in those days, you know, we're a shipping family, we're a seafaring family, and all those was behind me in the boats and shipping them out and shipping them in. Spillane's tobacco factory, it was Gary Owen tobacco and Cravenay tobacco. People might remember the two setters facing each other. That's on the other side of Sarsfield Bridge. And that bridge, this river bridge, belonged to my family for bringing the ships up to Corrigar and up there to the customs house, which was behind our mills and that, and bakery. And then you just 100 yards down from Tom Clark Memorial, and just built on the old toll house, for opening for that bridge. And you go to the Franciscan church now, which is closed. Opposite that, that's where Daly's Bakery was. And you probably saw Ned Daly. They did a great program on him. And Kathleen Clark, she was Daly. And but there was a great metal. Spillane's Robson, they were my uncles, Hubert and George. And when he came back, all those, it was a metal. Everybody used to help each other to set up in business and be loyal customers for business and that. I remember it when I was growing up. And they set him up in the tobacco shop. Tobacco was a wonderful thing there at that time. And I'm lending that to the exhibition, to Barclay Darcy. I'm lending him Tom Clark's smoking cabinet.
Right.
And the tobacco jar. And you're in the box, that's where the cigars used to be kept. My father used to use it. But it's wonderful to have it and to have all those things. And I'm lending the box that was on the back of Sleeve Nemon. And when Collins was shot, that's how they... And you see those tunnels. I mean, we wouldn't have bought Vaughan's Hotel if those... We couldn't have won the War of Independence without those tunnels. Because that's how they used to go up and down to Vaughan's Hotel. And they had various places to go down them. And, you know, every time that Vaughan's Hotel, the headquarters, was raided, they'd go down those tunnels and come out. The RIC could not understand how they could never find them. And they could... I mean, I think it was a 25 or 45,000 copies of Togluck, the paper, every week, coming among the Fenian, and they all distributed it. And she brought down those tons. And I'm lending that box that, you know, they used to bring up and down the papers, and that was put onto the back of the cars. There were no boots in cars in those days, and it was strapped on. And, you know, when Baden Blow and Michael Collins were shot there, because Jim Gubbins used to be in the firm as well. He was his bodyguard when he came down for the changeover. But, you know, we have a wonderful history. And, you know, those, I've been saying it for years. And I've been saying it for years about politicians, you know, members of the judiciary and civil servants. They've never once attended the 21st of January. They've never recognized the sovereign government. And yet, and you know, all those historians, the only historian we've ever seen at the Mansion House and had gone round and shown all that was Roon O'Donnell. But I was saying there that you can't understand, you cannot understand 1916 until you understand about Guinness has given all that money. And not only that, they gave their trucks as armoured cars. And their allegiance is the Crown of England. They don't even have... They're getting their license from the Crown of England to brew Guinness. That's why the Irish Republican Brotherhood members never drink Guinness. Because it's a desecration with our sovereignty, nine strings to heaven. They call it the O'Neill Harp, but it isn't. You know, it's just so desecrated. And the Queen. Sorry?
Are they an old French noble family?
Who?
The Guinnesses, originally.
I wouldn't think so.
I thought I checked up on something before and they actually came from French bloodline.
I don't know that.
No, it's just something I've checked.
I wouldn't be that interested in that.
Yeah.
I'd only be interested in the song. But I'm only trying to explain to people, you know, about Easter coming up.
Yeah.
And those tunnels, we could not have won the War of Independence. And all those historians who never came, they've never, I don't understand at the moment, we're seeing all these documentaries about 1916. And not one of them, other than Roon O'Donnell, has ever even bothered. I don't know whether Roon has read the because he's the historian in the University of Limerick. And he has been to the Mansion House. He's spoken, and he's spoken at Vaughan's Hotel, and he's spoken at 16 Lombard Street, and he's been around. But he's the only one that's factually correct. The others, they've never read the Vaughan's Hotel papers. It's out of the sky they're pulling these things. It's propaganda, lies, and deception, most of it. And why can't they say that? And why can't they talk? They always said, oh, there's no tunnels under the rotunda. That's where the Irish Volunteers were founded. That Billy Maguire, he's mad. Oh, I know that. And now Bartle Darcy has found all these tunnels that were leading up to Vaughan's Hotel. And that's how we won the War of Independence. That's how important it is.
Well,
and they were going up. The evacuation plan out of the GPO was to go up Moore Street. They weren't going up to buy fruit in Moore Street. They were going up to Moore Street to go down those tunnels and escape. And the Crown forces cut them off just across the road. You probably know that. You know where it is.
Billy. We were there. We were there.
Yeah. And if we got down those tunnels, they would have been to all the safe houses all over the country. That's what it would have been. But they got cut off there. But that's how important it is. But isn't it amazing that you look at Vaughan's Hotel, a derelict building where the state was founded, where the sovereign constitution was written. I mean, I knew Bulmer Hobson and all these people just come to Willibank, the executive of the Supreme Council of the Irish Republic, and coming them on and the Fianna and Ninian Nahan and all those people. And I mean, 1 minute they're shouting about they use our tricolour flag, and the next minute they won't recognise it. I mean, what are they about? No wonder we're always in trouble. We're always going to be in trouble until we have our sovereign government.
I know what's come in the lead up there to the 1916 celebrations, that there's not much about the likes of men like Thomas Clarke and Padraic Pearse and James Connolly, because they all understood what they were fighting for in 1916. It wasn't about freedom, it was about sovereignty.
Sovereignty is what it was about. And if you haven't sovereignty, you're a slave. And the point of the whole issue is, you've never heard RTE even mention the Irish Republican Brotherhood, or the Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And we have never once, I mean, I'm giving out about those documentaries. Why can't they go to, and speak to the Irish Republican Brotherhood? How can you have a documentary? And you look at those documentaries. All right, it is coming out a bit now about the Irish Republican Brotherhood. But you think that the Irish Republican Brotherhood, I mean, they don't recognize, they founded and funded the state, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They put the tricolour flag up in the GPO. They gave their lives 8 strings IV for Old in the Hand. Than the Irish Volunteers, and 7 strings Old in the Hand IV for the Garda Síochána. And that's what they get their sovereignty from. And I will say that we had wonderful news the week before last. I wrote to Enda Kenny. As you know, we weren't invited to one commemoration last year, not one. And we were barred, and we were told we were not allowed on Easter Monday to be on O'Connor Street. But anyway, the whole thing has changed around a fortnight ago. I wrote to Enda Kenny, well, this morning now, it's 3 weeks, the 1st of February, I wrote to Enda Kenny. And as Deputy Enda Kenny, I don't regard him as Taoiseach, provisional Taoiseach. You talked about Sinn Féin. It should be provisional Sinn Féin or Republican Sinn Féin. But there was only one Sinn Féin, and that was by the will of all the people in the 1980s. That proclamation, that sovereign constitution, they're the foundation documents of the state, the sovereign republic of Ireland. That, if you don't uphold that, where do we see any of those on the 21st of January who founded and funded the state and recognizing it? No, we don't see them. So we don't know what they're up to. But anyway, I wrote to Andy Kenny, and I will, hold on, I'll read out the letter. Hold on a second.
Please do.
Right. And I wrote to the Chief Superintendent, Pat Leahy, who was wonderful to us. And I wrote to Mr. Maurice Quinn, Secretary General of Old and Hare and the Defence Forces. And I got acknowledgement from him as well. And Deputy Enda Kenny, here we go. Deputy Enda Kenny, Department of the Taoiseach, Leinster House, Kildare Street, Dublin 2. And I have my address on it. And the sovereign seal was air underneath. It has to be air underneath it. If it isn't, you don't know who it is or what it is, and that's who you're paying your taxes to. But anyway, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. To Deputy Enda Kenny TD at the Department of the Taoiseach, we are annual commemoration for this centenary, 1916 to 2016. The Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood will hold their centenary commemoration of their 1916 rising on Easter Monday, the 28th of March, 2016 at 12 noon at the GPO O'Connor Street, Dublin. They will read their 1916 proclamation and their sovereign constitution, the foundation documents of the state, the sovereign republic of Ireland, and elevate their tricolour flag on the GPO as they did in 1916. The IRB will meet at 11 o'clock a.m. at GHQ Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square and Granby Road, Dublin. Signed and sealed on this day, the 3rd of February, 2016, William James Maguire, President of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, President of the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, President of the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, Sovereign Dáil Éireann Government. Enclosed, 1916 Proclamation and the Sovereign Constitution. And I give www.billymaguire.com and www.irishrepublicanbrotherhood.ie. And I did get acknowledgements. And last, then, and I must say, Superintendent Pat Leahy, I mean, he really was very good. Because, you know, I think they're expecting something like 1 million people for the week. And how are we going to get down from Bond's to the GPO and do... I mean, it'll only be an hour, I'd say. But that's what they did in 1916. But anyway, I got on Thursday, Elaine O'Connor, who has got the contract for running the events of 1916. She contacted me, very nice. And very nice person. And she was, you know, went into the website and studied all about it. And we have permission now for 100 anyway from Vaughan's Hotel to march down to the GPO and honor those volunteers. We'll lay our wreath at the GPO and we will read our proclamation and raise our tricolour flag, and we will, and Seamus O'Sullivan will read the proclamation, and Harry O'Reilly will read the Sovereign Constitution, the first page, and that Article 10 about the land of Ireland, and that's basically it. It's a simple ceremony, but we want it to be a very dignified ceremony. We want no placards for people claiming water or anything else. It must be just dignified with the families and, you know, and that. But we're hoping that we're going to get...
We can bring the tricolour, Billy.
What?
We can bring the tricolour. We can bring the flag.
I'm not sure of that now. Christina is their liaising. Christina's is doing the liaise. They want to liaise just one person, and that's Christina. And because there'd be one number and one person making the decisions, because it's going to be a huge event. I mean, you're talking about, we're told, we don't know whether this is true or not, but all the television cameras and will all be up in Vaughan's in Parnell Square, and that's all the, you know, we'll have the world press on us. That's the first time we were ever acknowledged in 100 years. And, yeah, you know, to go from, you know, but anyway, I think this is wonderful. And I must thank all those, Garda Síochána, who are absolutely great. And I must thank the civil service, because I presume they were the ones who did it. And she got the contract, Elaine O'Connor from Dublin City Council. And that was, and Barclay Darcy, he was very instrumental in that and very instrumental. And the Lord Mayor of Dublin was very good to us on the day. And they're all helping us. And they all see, you have to have a sovereign government. We have a sovereign government. And why should we be denying it? And why should, because we're going to be in trouble in Europe. Our sovereign government doesn't care what Britain does. We have a sovereign government. We can either stay in Europe because we have a sovereign government. We just, as our own crowd won't recognize it. And, or if we want to pull out of Europe, we can pull out of Europe. But anyway, that's the political. I don't do politics. I'm the sovereignty and legitimacy. And I think it's time for the first time. And as I said, that the Queen's visit, it took 10 years and it was predicated on a truth commission. With all that coming out about what happened in 1916 and what happened, I mean, this thing, you know, the Irish volunteers went out, took on the might of the British Empire. But they did in a way, but I mean, if Guinness hadn't given that money, and in 1914, the UVF army declared a war on Britain and Ireland if home rule was imposed by the British government in Ireland. And the British government capitulated to the UVF army because Germany would have wiped out Britain. And I mean, these are the facts. And if you don't understand that, how can you understand 1916? Why aren't these great historians telling us this? And why won't they read the proclamation? And why won't they read the song and say on the proclamation, this is an Irish Republican Brotherhood document, as is the sovereign constitution. And why don't the judiciary come out and read that sovereign constitution? That sovereign constitution needs to be adopted and amended. you know, is the 21st of January 1990, thrown in the bin. If a civil servant in any member of the judiciary has a say anything to you, you just say, when was the sovereign government of the sovereign Republic of Éire, the sovereign Dáil Éireann government, when was that dissolved? And who dissolved it? And you can read that to them, and you read the facts to them, that they can't do it, not to the, it's treason. And that Mulcahy, when the Irish Republican Brotherhood were split over the 6th of December 1921, when Collins had to step down, and all those who signed that, there was never a treaty signed here. You can't sign a treaty. Who did King George V think he was doing a treaty with? If he declared Dáil Éireann to be an illegal assembly in August. And he should say, they should come out and say it. And you know, Mulcahy, he was trying to take the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the sovereignty, because the sovereignty he was trying to take, and of course that's treason, and he was going to be executed for it, and he was long abandoning. And that's what you see in 1920, whatever he said, was it in 19, it was abandoned in 19. His section that he was trying to take,
1926, he had no right to. Billy.
What?
Was it 1926?
I'm not sure the date. I have the date there someplace, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But anyway, whatever date he said he was abandoned. But what he was talking about wasn't the Irish Republican Brotherhood. It was what he was trying to take and trying to take sovereignty for the provisional government. How can a provisional government have sovereignty? You can't have it. It's like that Sir George, whatever he was yesterday, going on about you can't, sovereignty is what you have, and you can't share sovereignty. And he's right on that. You have to achieve sovereignty. And that's what that war of independence. And we would not have achieved it without all those tunnels. And I hope everybody goes to see Barclay's exhibition and goes to see Tom Clark's smoking cabinet, and goes to see the box that was on the back of the car. You know, I told you, no booth. That was in Bay of Law.
Can I ask a question there in a minute, please?
Yeah.
Is there any role, or has the IRB taken on any role in the commemorations this year?
Oh, we're going to be the centre of it this year now, on Easter Monday. Before that, we weren't allowed in O'Connell Street. But now we're just turned completely around. I told you that Elaine O'Connor, who's the events, who's got the contract to do it. And that letter I read out, Enda Kenny, she got that. I don't know if it was Enda Kenny's one or Pat, I don't know who, which of them was sent in to her. I must ask her that. Anyway, that's what's happening, and that has been agreed, that's what's going to happen. So the Irish Republican Brotherhood, who funded and founded the state in 1916, Superintendent Pat Lee, he might have sent it in at that. I'm not sure, you know, but they're doing it professionally. But we're only there on the Sunday. I think it's the provisional government are going down, but I don't know what they're really going down for. I mean, that's
to kind of say, we're kind of in control,
yeah,
Billy.
Yeah, we're still there, like, you know, we're here for the money, you know. Yeah. And then on Saturday, I don't know who's going on Saturday.
You'll probably have the 1916 societies marching on the Saturdays, Billy, because what they usually do. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but the point is, you know, we're doing that for to be 100 years on Easter Monday, and you know, we never left sovereign government. That's what we would. That's what we do with the Mansioners. We do, and when you saw the Mansioners trying to close us out, our sovereign government, and we trying to keep it alive, that they can't say. It's 97 years. I mean, it's less than 3 years to the 100th anniversary. It's like the Queen coming to lay the wreath in the Garden of Remembrance and claim her sovereignty from us. That's where she gets her, doesn't even claim it, it's where she gets her sovereignty from. And why can't people, especially with all the communication of young people today, I mean, you don't have to listen to that rubbish or propaganda lies or that. Everybody can talk to them. The facts are all there. And that's why University of Limerick is an Irish Republican Brotherhood University. That young people, that's why, you know, there was nobody in 1950 thinking of computers. And you can educate yourself now. And before you couldn't get the information because they controlled all the information. You knew nothing. But now they can't control the information. And young people can educate themselves. I'm not interested because I'm too old. But you can and you should. I mean,
But they don't. They have their heads stuck.
Unfortunately, they don't.
No, they have their heads stuck in PlayStations. And they have an Xbox.
Yeah, but all right, you have that. But first of all, they should know their sovereignty. Because if they don't know that you've gone off to America and you're all over the world, if you don't know, I'd say in the next maybe even 5 years, if you don't know what's on your passport, and if you don't know your track and effect, you would be regarded as a terrorist. And I believe there are places in New York you have to show your passport to get in. And I remember there some years ago when those high flyers flying in out of America in his private jet, and he you know, waved at the customs that he didn't have to go through customs and that, and he was very arrogant. And one day anyway, he was going in, and the customs wouldn't let them in. And they said they were determined to see his passport. And they asked him what was on his passport, and he didn't know. And they wouldn't let him in, and he had to go back in his plane and fly back to Ireland. And because I was asked, you know, and he called it a harp. And the customs officer in America said, "That's not a harp, sir." that was about 10 years ago or more now. It must be more.
So you must know it's the sovereign seal. They'd be wondering about that. Yeah, it's the sovereign seal.
How you know is it's simple. You put it up to the mirror, you see the half of the psaltery. I've just explained. If you take a coin out of your pocket with 14 strings, and you take that Ernest Blythe, and you take the and Bulmer Hobson, and William Butler Yeats. I mean, William Butler Yeats, a member of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, as well as Countess Markovitch and these people. I mean, these were all intellectual people. And they put the sovereign seal. Well, it's 14 strings in the line. They're all different ones, 13 over chords. And that's, it was 12 originally, but anyway, that was the 6th of December, 1920. I mean, they're desecrating our seal. And you see the crown over the harp. They take precedence over our sovereignty. That's what it's all about. And I remember the peace reconciliation process with Hankton and the Privy Council and all that. And I demanded that they took down that crown from on top of our, that they took precedence. And there was luxury over it.
And another question that was in the chat box earlier, Billy. Era spelt with a capital E. Is that not corporatizing it?
No, there's two visions on that. On the seal, I have a seal that is on it. I think from modern technology, there was a big problem, you know, to put the era that you write. When I write it, if you write it, you have to write the era. You know what I mean? You know, the circular.
Yeah.
The father. And those fathers, I said, the Om Alphas and those Bulfas, and they're all in the hops, you know, they're all part of the Om Alphas. But when you write it, you have to write it that you don't write it in the Roman numerals. But you can print it, apparently, it's acceptable to print it. Because, as you know, and I hate it, Irish, I can't understand the Irish with the H's and the things. I like the Bulfas and Father, and that represents the Om alphabet. If you go to Loch Goran, that's where the Clock and Carshig is, and the run of Crandove Stone, which the Om is on, and you see that V sign. You know the way I do the V signs, and you put the two and you put the two together, and you get the world, and you get, the triangle. And that triangle is still used today for all land, you know, measurement and all that. And if you look at the sun and the moon, and men were always buried to the left, and women were always buried to the right, because the sun, it's the reflection of the sun, ray beams, and the moon beams, and the sun rays. It's the sun rays that grows all our bio and biomass, and the sovereign seal is the sunship going across the sky, and the harp is the moonship, and the moonship controls all the cycle of life. And all the tides. And you go back to the pyramids of Egypt when the pharaohs were buried. But any of the women in that, or who became, the pharaohs, they were always you know, their tombs were always to the right, and of course the right is the moon, and the left is the sun. And how important. It's all about learning how to look after planet Earth. That's what God gave, that the greatest gift ever given to man was the harp. And harp is the harmony. And, you know, and how can you take harmony to war? And that's what the Hebrew people did. And they were punished by God for that. And, you know, when you think of what's on it, and everything is on it, the crescent moon, you know, the compass, the wheel, everything, the grid and the graph, you know, you can't build your geography, everything, science, astronomy, everything comes from it. And we have it, and we're not allowed to know anything about it.
Well,
I'm only saying for young fellas, which is a great thing to be playing with that, and even very young children, to put the 14 strings and the money, and all the money, put it up to the mirror and you see the harp and the psaltery. And that's all I'm saying to you. I mean, I'm not telling you to, you know, but it what you achieve, sovereignty, it's like, I'll just say Declan, who made those medals for, the GA medals for us. And they're going to be presented this year to the winners of the Sam McGuire and the Lee McCarthy trophies, who are, there are trophies, because I'm related to both of them. And, you know, but anyway, Declan, that is sovereignty, the standard of work of that. I mean, and the stick that I'm carrying on Easter Monday, Declan made that stick for me, and any bush or tree that carries fruit and berries and nuts is sacred to the Celtic people. And the yew tree, which is the oldest I think we have, And that's the Maguire. That's sacred to them, the Maguires, you know. And we always carry a U, and I'm carrying that with the sovereign seal. And it was Declan that made that. He made that for me as a friend. It's the most beautiful stick. And you know, we don't carry swords or that because we don't go to war. We're not interested in war. We're only interested in the right and welfare of the sovereign citizens to be educated, to be well fed, looked after. You know, to understand their land and their fishing and to mind it. That's all. That's what sovereignty is. And
I've
and
got a good understanding of sovereignty, Billy, but unfortunately most people don't.
They don't because we're airbrushed out of our history for so long. And when you keep... Anyway, am I over my time altogether?
Well, look, before you go, I did dig out a little poem. I know you always come on and you always do something for you, but I did dig out a little poem for you this week, Billy. And it's a poem written by Padraic Pearse, and it's called The Rebel. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
I'll tell you after, so
I am come of the seed of the people that are sorrow. We have no treasure but hope, no riches laid up but a memory of an ancient glory. My mother bore me in bondage my mother was born. I am the blood of serfs. The children with whom I have played, the men and women with whom I have eaten, have had masters over them, have been under the lash of masters, and though gentle, have served churls. The hands that have touched mine, the dear hands whose touch is familiar to me, have worn shameful manacles, have been bitten at the wrists by manacles, have grown hard with the manacles and task work of strangers. I am the flesh of these lowly. I am the bone of their bone. I that have never submitted. I that have a soul greater than the souls of my people's masters. I that have vision and prophecy and the gift of fiery speech. I that have spoken with God on the top of his holy hill, and because I am of the people, I understand the people. I am sorrowful with their sorrow. I am hungry with their desire. My heart is heavy with the grief of mothers. My eyes have been wet with the tears of children. I have yearned with wistful old men and laughed and cursed with young men. Their shame is my shame, and I have reddened for it. Reddened that they have served, they who should not be free. Reddened that they have gone in want, while others have been full. Reddened for that they have walked in fear of lawyers and their jailers with their writs of summons and their handcuffs. Men, mean and cruel. I could have bore stripes on my body rather than this shame of my people. And now I speak being full of vision. I speak to my people and I speak in my people's name to the masters of my people. I say to my people that they are holy, that they are august despite their chains, that they are greater than those that hold them and stronger and purer, that they have no need of courage and to call on the name of their God, God the unforgetting, the dear God who loves the people, for whom he died naked, suffering shame. And I say to the people's masters, beware, beware of the thing that is coming, beware of the risen people who shall take what you would not give. Did you think to conquer the people or that law is stronger than life and that than men's desire to be free? We will try it out with you that have harried and held, ye that have bullied and bribed, tyrants, hypocrites and liars.
Well, congratulations. I think that's wonderful. And you read that absolutely beautifully. It is a magnificent poem. And doesn't that sum it all up? Isn't that slavery? And if you read the prophet, all they wanted was just to be sovereign and that they'd have education. The first four strings, I told you, the first computer known to mankind. Earth, air, fire and water. And you look after those. And education, hospital care. And you have your home. And that's all part of your sovereignty. And Chris Fogarty's book, which is out, and about the what we call the famine, which he calls correctly the Holocaust. You know, there was all the food in Ireland, and you know the British Empire, but we suffered for that. All those land estates were all set up to support the British Empire, and it was all about creating food for the Crown forces, and we were starved. The people were starved. The Crown forces took all that for war. That's what they were going to. That was all taken for war. And that's why you never take the heart to war. And that's what caused the famine here. And isn't that, I mean, why doesn't that come out? But anyway, what I wanted to say to you about, that is a wonderful poem. And that really sums it up, you know. But Chris has won, Fogarty has written a brilliant book, on the Holocaust. And that's what it was, a Holocaust. That was deliberate. The food was taken, and that they destroyed our people. Our people are all over the world, 70 million of them. And, you know, and if they only knew their history, and I feel sorry that, but we can do something now, and we should do it. And this is the year we should do it. I remember reading in the Vaughan's Hotel papers that Collins, he said, you know, when he signed that illegal agreement, there was never a treaty signed. He said he signed his own death warrant, but he said, it's only for 2 years. We'll have our sovereign government in 2 years. Sure, that never happens because...
But sure, he was shot in 9 months. He was shot in 9 months, yeah?
He was, and Arthur Griffith. And Sinn Féin was... Arthur Griffith was only fronting for the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the Fenian to found Sinn Féin. You know, and they should understand that these people... You hear all about the people and these things... But they never mentioned the Irish Republican Brotherhood. It's the organization is a super. That's a, look, I have no consequence. It's the organization we have to bring back and for the people. And that the people look after the welfare. And as you know, when the first thing we say in the Mansion House on the 21st of January is the right and welfare of the sovereign citizens, to be sovereign and indefeasible. And we mentioned the first four strings, earth, air, fire, and water. And man's intellect and reason and his five senses, that's the nine strings. And we have the sovereign trinity, which is desecrated over the four. And it's left out in Arbor Hill over our members. And as you know, Michael Biggs, we're hoping to go up there, we go up there too on Easter Monday. And he spent 4 years carving those proclamations in Irish and in hail, rain, and snow. And it's supposed to have the sovereign trinity on it. And I often say about when Kennedy came here, because my father got the Kennedys and the Americans interested in the peace, reconciliation, and prosperity process. And when he went up to take that, you could see him looking up to see where was the sovereign Trinity. And I think that was the first time. And Sir De Valera wouldn't let him go out to Lochgar, where the, the Fitzgeralds, Fitzgerald Kennedys, where the Fitzgerald came, because De Valera came from Bruree, and the old cottage he came out of in the estate in Bruree, Derlikai didn't want the world press to see that, and he didn't want the, and he wouldn't allow him. So it took, they were out, was it last year, the year before, 50 years on. You know, I mean, I don't see what's wrong in telling the truth. But anyway, what I was going to say before you read that beautiful poem, and you read it absolutely beautifully, was that Kathleen Clark told me, you know, I was telling you about, and I was only a young fella, and, you know, the hair would stand in your head, she telling you the cruelty that was inflicted on him, and not only him, but all those Irish people in those prisons, you know.
That's
and,
right.
And she told me that in 1916, Tom Clark was president of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and that was the executive of the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And Padraig Pearse was president of the military wing, which is Oglan na Héireann. And that's the difference, and I think that is made clear today. And I heard Dermot Ferguson the other day saying that, and he must have got that out of the bonds of telepapers, or he must have been listening to this. But I never said that Padraig Pearse was president of Oglan na Héireann, of, you know, which is the military wing. And I said, you know, I've often said about the Sinn Féin, Arthur Griffith, president of the Sinn Féin founding it. And, but he didn't know that, and he had the first part of it right, but he didn't have the second part because he didn't get the information. But it just shows all the information is there, and should, if they'd only put it up, how can young people, and I think young people would be absolutely fascinated. I think every child in the world is born sovereign. And it's all about your being and having a happy being and a happy life and a happy planet, and the heart is harmony. And, you know, what a wonderful, it's a wonderful,
Wonderful, Billy. If people would only accept their sovereignty, it could be so, so wonderful.
And, you know, I say to people, when I was a young fella, you could park your car in O'Connell Street in Dublin, and you wouldn't even lock it.
Yeah, you get a ticket today.
You know, and, people are under such pressure all the time. But sovereigns, that's the way sovereigns live. And that metal, I said, of all the, when I remember when all the farmers, you know, in the biggest mills as well, and they'd all get their corn in the springtime. And they'd plant their corn. There was never any money around in those days. It was really people who were under pressure. But when they'd have the corn then saved in the autumn, they'd bring it back and they'd have, you get paid for the seed and they'd get paid for their corn and they'd have, you know, and that's, and it's businesses. I mean, I said about the George and Hubert Spillane, you know, and I mean, all those businesses all. I mean, there was no competition against business. So, trade is the lifeblood of a nation, and that's what's so important. And what's so, well, you look at what we have. We have the largest territory, I believe, in Europe. And look at all the fishing, the middle rice.
That's a disgrace, Billy. That's an absolute disgrace.
But why don't people do something about it? They won't do it. They won't stand up.
I don't like to slag the people, or I don't like to call them, you know, but they are ignorant.
Is it something like 97,000 square kilometres?
Sorry, Paul?
Is it 97,000 square kilometres of fishing reel or something we have?
The largest in Europe.
Yeah.
Our neighbours are the United States of America and Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are our neighbours. And your neighbours are supposed to help each other.
Yeah.
And all that we want, and instead of... you know, I can't understand that Good Friday Agreement, because that wasn't done. And, you know, that was only looking after Britain's interests. And up to that, now Britain are trying to claim, move their territory into the six counties. That's not their territory. And how is it that they seem to think they have the right to come into a sovereign, independent, democratic republic and do what they like? You wouldn't go into Britain and do it, would you?
No, but
you'd want to be very powerful. If you had a big enough army, you would. But I don't know what's going to happen on when they, on what is the 20th whatever of June. How are they going? And it's all about sovereignty they're talking about. And I hope it comes out that it's all about our sovereignty, because that's the harp, and the crown is royalty. And it's two little things, very important, that are made known to the British public, that the sovereignty is belong to the sovereign citizens of the sovereign Republic of Ireland, Celtic people, who were once all Britain and all, they were all Celtic people as well. And that was the great, it was Rome, it was Roman that destroyed the Celts, and the Celts originally destroyed the Romans, but the Celts, you never take the harp to war, and that's the point. If you do, and you saw it on, you know, in 2008, on the 4th of September, when the GA took off the sovereign seal off the GA, all Ireland medal, and it's now only a GA medal, and yeah. They didn't tell anybody. And they all said, oh, this is only mythology, nothing would happen. Look what happened to the banks. Look what happened to the boom. It was all bust. Wasn't it after that? And we're still paying for it.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't a bailout. It was a robbery. You know, it was a stick up.
Yeah.
I think that's why they put the snakes on the GAA medals now, isn't it? For the snakes that they are.
A snake. I mean, just shocking. But anyway, we were hoping to do it on the 21st, but we were too busy. But I thought, what did you think of the 21st anyway?
I loved it, Billy. I absolutely loved it. Look,
you could get it to the Mansion House. You know, sitting at the cabinet table and that.
I didn't get in, Billy. But sure, look at next. It's almost next year.
There were only left 20 in, but I can't understand that either. Well, she was very good, the Lord Mayor. But and as you know, the Lord Mayor of Belfast came down and came in. It was all interested in, you know, the Harpins, because when I was invited to Stormont. And they all said, oh, you can't be Republican. You have to be union. I said, I'm not. I'm a Republican. So Republic is only that the people are sovereign. And I don't want to be a subject to the crown and to royalty.
I object strongly to that name, subject. I actually object strongly to certain names, like when people call me a person.
That's what the British people are. They're subjects. Yeah. They have to courtesy to the Queen. And you see, and you know, this thing, the Knights of the Garter. And yeah, I saw somebody said to me, oh, look at that program, and I did. And the Duke of Edinburgh was asked after it. What did he think of that? He said it was pure madness, which is absolutely correct. I mean, that sort of madness going on. And people dying of starvation, and people living on the streets and all that. There's no need for that.
Them times are not too far away again, Billy.
I know, but they shouldn't be, and they shouldn't be here, and we shouldn't tolerate it either.
Well, Billy, we're working in, as you know, I work hard. I actually work hard on things like that.
And you have a great responsibility. But don't you want the children to be sovereign citizens?
And well, my children are sovereign.
They are, and the benefits of all the assets of the state. That's all inherent in those children, and to get a proper education, you know, to be truthful about it, and you know, to as I said about Declan, I mean, the standard of that standard that he has is so high, you know, and everybody, you know, you find your fees and what you're good at, even if there's you like Trish is doing proper work and shoddy work. That's not sovereignty, or corruption, or lies and deception. Sovereign citizens don't think like that.
It's all about honesty.
Honesty. And general, your neighbour, that they're all right, and harmony.
And respect.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, and all those qualities that we had and we seem to have lost.
Well, some
but anyway,
of us
I have gone well over the time on you, and I'm sorry about that.
Billy, it's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, Paul. And
absolutely,
I would say
pleasure.
Good night, all your listeners. And I hope that when a politician comes to your door, you'll ask him, what government are you looking for to vote for? Is it the provisional government, the sovereign government, the six-county government? I mean, why? The whole thing is madness. It is like Duke of Edinburgh talked about the Knights of the Garter. Madness. And I think it's madness. And I think it's time
100th anniversary to sort it out, and it can be sorted out, and it's all there, and I think we're getting a great opportunity now. If we only got the backing of the journalists and RTE and the television stations to just ask the questions. And to, because it's obviously, it's going to be sovereignty until June, after that election in June.
Yeah. I won't hold me breath, Billy, on the Royal Television England coming out and telling anybody anything anytime soon.
I don't think so. But anyway, listen, I'll say good night and thank you very much for having me on.
No, I hope everybody
enjoys Easter Monday, the 100th anniversary, and I hope everybody comes out and celebrates it.
We'll see you there, Billy. We'll see. Well, you know, we'll see you there, Byron.
Well, we're hoping to get 400. That can make a space. It all depends on the space at the GPO. And if we can get more space, we'd have a... And sure, we want to see all the children and everything at that, and everybody enjoying the day and celebrating what they gave for us, you know. And sure, I said the Irish Republican Brotherhood, they abhor war, they abhor violence, corruption, maladministration, propaganda, lies, and deception. That's not how sovereigns live. And we have a great country. We have one of the best countries in the world. If we only could have a sovereign government, and if they only could tell the truth, you know, we need to be told the truth and we need to be told the facts, you know, and it's all there. And those historians need to come out and tell us facts, and they need to go on those and you know, and that you understand how you understand 1916 and what was about, and would never have happened, in my opinion, if Guinness hadn't given that 100,000, Lord Rothschild hadn't given that 100,000, and Robert Kipling hadn't given that by the top class German guns. And how is it that they are all knighted, and that is treason under the crown? And they should, all right, they did it, but they should come forward and put it right. That's all we're asking them, you know?
Look, Billy, you won't have any complaints from us. Look, we know what the story is, you know, and we're trying to teach it, you know? And I think we're doing a reasonably good job as well, because more people are learning it.
I look, you know, people who call, my phone is, I three times a day now I have to plug it in. And I have it plugged in now. And as you know, they took away my landline and didn't want to talk. And I have no broadband or anything like that. Yeah, but sure, we still keep going.
Well, that's
it. God bless the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the Fenian Brotherhood. You know, who funded and founded the state, the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, the Sovereign Republic and Dáil Éireann government, and the Sovereign Dáil Éireann courts, and all coming among the Fianna in Éireann, and I hope they all turn out on Easter Monday and parade down to the GPO and raise our tricolour flag and read our proclamation and our sovereign constitution, and that'll be our day. Listen, good night to you, and that poem was magnificent. And,
you're very welcome, Billy.
Good work. Good night, Paul, and good night to your listeners. Thanks very much.
Till the next time, Billy. Night.
Right, folks. We're going to take a quick tea break now here. We're going to play out with one of Ray's favourite songs, Rory Gallagher, Follow Me. A bit like Ray all week, running around, putting up his posters with his little army. Follow Me. Be right back.
And I think we're back, folks. We're back, I think, live. Paul, are you back?
I am.
Ah, great. So, Billy was great, wasn't he?
Absolutely. A pleasure listening to him every time. And I hope he gives people a good understanding of what it is to be sovereign, the meaning of sovereign, and what 1916 was all about. And the reason why me and Ray asked for operating license and stuff like that.
Yeah, what happened there, Paul? Are you gone?
No, sorry, go on.
No, I just thought everything went dead around me here, and I just thought I was out to lose and everything. The reason we ask the questions we do is because we know, like, it delves back into where everything is supposed to come from, but how it was all twisted back around. It turned a license into a registration, and they all to operate their private business. And so the reason we ask for an operating license is, because we know they haven't got one for starters, and you have to turn up on the 21st of January to get one anyway. So that's the way it is, isn't it, Bally?
Absolutely. It's a deception and an illusion of a government. You know, like they're a provisional government, not sovereign government. They've got a lookalike flag, a lookalike. They've got a harp on the wall instead of the sovereign seal. They use words of trickery then after that, so they do. You know, as in what you said there, Ray, instead of a license, registry numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah. everything is a reflection of what we think it is.
Absolutely. And the thing is, they need you to keep giving recognition to it, you see.
Yeah.
And for us to keep accepting it.
Well, we don't accept much, do we, Paul?
No, well, I think it's good to ask the questions these days. And like, you need to look at, people need to look at the events back then to have an understanding of that sort of structure as well. You know,
yeah.
And have the understanding of what was going on back there. It wasn't for the right to vote. It was for the right of sovereign.
Yeah,
sovereign. Everybody was sovereign. Everybody had the same.
Yeah.
We were born with our rights. You know,
yeah.
So.
The reason I read the poem, Paulie, that poem, I think Pierce wrote that poem in around 1912 or 1911, right? So it was before the 1916. But when he writes the poem, he says, "I am come of the seed of the people that are sorrow." Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't say the people that were sovereign, you know. He says, "We have no treasure but hope." And like, basically, like, 1916 is on the cards back then. 1916 was on the cards from 1901 when Thomas Clark came back from America. But Thomas Clark ran a little tobacco shop in Parnell Square, and basically all of the messages and stuff that went on within the IRB all came through that shop.
Absolutely. And like, as some people might not even know, like the IRB and the Young Fenians and that came from what Billy was saying, the Holocaust or the so-called famine and stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, like, so these people were after seeing what happened and the destruction, and they went out and learned. They went off abroad and they went out and they learned. They came back and they've been passing on the information and trying to get people to have an understanding of all this since.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the fighting was back then. You know,
yeah.
Was to give out the information. And for people to have an understanding that each person, each one of us is individual. And that's what sovereignty is.
Yeah.
It's being individual. You know, and me as a man or a woman, individuality is what's sovereign. Something living individuality. Now, if I get a blade of grass, can be sovereign. If I get a few blades of grass and weave them together, it's not sovereign anymore. It's not individual, so it's not. It has to think like a team or something, or grow as a team. That is not what it's about, you see. And that's where the 1937 and after that, where they've switched that onto the people, you know, that gave us the illusion of, well, unless it's got a title, it can't be sovereign, or that it is sovereign, like the state being sovereign. As Billy says, the Queen being sovereign. You know,
but the Queen is sovereign, Paul, but she's only sovereign herself. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sovereign.
She's sovereign as Elizabeth.
Yeah, but she's not death sovereign.
No, she's sovereign as Elizabeth. When she takes on the Queen, she's not. That's a different title altogether.
Yeah.
You know, and the same as Mrs. Queen or whatever she calls herself, you know. All that is... I can see, like, it is hard for some people to get an understanding of this, Ray, at the beginning.
Really hard, yeah, because
yeah.
Titles are, look at it, it actually says it in the Irish Constitution. I don't have one near me, but it does say it in the Irish Constitution, actually, that titles aren't allowed, you know?
Well, absolutely. And it also, look, it brings me on to something else that we were talking about, yourself, entities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Corporated businesses and sort of stuff. Like, each of us is sovereign. So we're sovereign people of a country. No foreign entity, no foreign corporated entity can control a country.
That's a
sovereign country. You know, and that's what's happening now is sovereign entities, corporated businesses.
That's correct, Paul. Again, yeah, a corporate entity these days is called a person, yeah?
Yeah, or persons.
Persons, yeah. And yeah. Basically what you have now is persons running countries, right? Like corporations running countries, let's just take one that was registered in 1921, like Ireland Inc., yeah? And that's the one that's still running today.
Yeah, well, I said, I'm not even going to go into any of this really, but Derby Seven has in there, there's only one sovereign, the creator. Well, that can't be because he's got a thing called creator.
Yeah.
So it's not, the creator can't be if it's got a name or a title. But I'm not going to go into all that. It's the structure of what Billy's saying there, the history and the way it affects us today.
Yeah.
What happens is they took away the sovereign government, as we were just here and there, and they gave us this corporated, registered business government.
Yeah,
but and they gave us the illusion of a couple of words change, like the Dáil Éireann and stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they took away the common law, really. The sovereign government was about, the sovereign government, the courts of the sovereign Dáil Éireann government were under Breton law. And really, what they usurped in 1922 was they gave us back the legalese version, right, which is the British accredited registry courts, and they operate under the colour of law, which is not their law, it just looks like the law.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the trick again, isn't it? It's the illusion.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's all an illusion. It's all, we call it pixie dust, yeah?
Yeah, because like in a sovereign republic of our era, we should have courts, proper courts.
Proper courts,
they should be run by the people, owned by the people.
Courts of law is what you're talking about. Not courts of legal.
Yeah, courts of law. Not courts of legal, because legal is corporated structure. And that there belongs in business offices. That's where they should be. They should be going in with their union rep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the equivalent though. Where it's, where people are in a business structure and the ordinary person walking when, and he gets his union rep to go in when he does something wrong or when they say he done something wrong. Well, that's what the government is.
Yeah, well, that's, you see, what the government is exactly the opposite of what it's supposed to be. The government is, we had a sovereign government where the flesh and blood man, now remember, when Billy talks about a sovereign government, he doesn't say that you didn't have to contribute, yeah? He says that when you contributed, you made some things better and you got it back in the double. But a sovereign government just takes and gives nothing back. The current government just keeps taking and taxing and making up tax and never gives anything back, you know?
Well, you see, back again to the structure of tax, isn't it? Tax is only created for wars, originally. Ireland's not on any war at the moment, so we're not. We never have been. So before, underneath the structure of the crown, which is at war in every country, that's what they're taxing us for.
Of course, that's what they're taxing us for. You see, you have to look at what is tax, right? So it's tax. It's a charge of the light brigade. Attack. Yeah. It's an attack on the people.
All that money goes into, out of the country and into the banks, into the funds, the people, the crown structure. Which control the banking structure, which loan us the money to run the structure of the country after they bought all the natural resources.
Yeah. They put up the loans against the assets that the provisional government don't own anyway. They belong to us. So.
Yeah, you see that, isn't it? What I'm trying to say, usually in a war, what they do is they support both sides.
Yeah.
And whoever wins, They pay back in taxes or the equity of the country.
Yeah.
Now, as Ireland wasn't in the war and stuff, You know, the independence, the War of Independence, all right, but we hadn't got a war after that.
Yeah, well, we had a usurpation. We had a civil war where the Free Staters tried to kill the Sovereign Republic, yeah? Like, that's what you had in 1922 when Collins took over as, what was his title there? I can't remember what his title was, but it was an English title and he took over. And basically the first thing he went down and done was took over the Dáil Éireann courts down on the quays. And that was where the Sovereign Republicans were hiding out, led by a so-called De Valera, who was pretending that he was still fighting for a sovereign republic, which he abandoned in 1926. So the guys was very good, you know, like in all fairness, they played most of them like a banjo, you know what I mean? They certainly played the people like a banjo in 1922, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, as Billy said there, look, the sovereign government was set up in Mansion House.
Yeah.
Like, so if we had everything we needed then, and we had the will of the people then, why would anybody claiming to be representing the people of Ireland, the men and women of Ireland, walk out of there and go over to another building?
You see, again, it's back to that reflection, you know. So, we were going to call it the Oireachtas, so they set up the Royal Oireachtas over at Leinster House, you know. Look, it's gone. It was taken back then. And basically what we have now is we have a mirror image of what we were supposed to get under the Sovereign Republic. But we can take it back to there. And Billy rightly so says that. We can take it back. But I think if you go to Article 28 of the 1919 Constitution, that talks about direct democracy. And you said there when Billy was going, just after Billy left, that I was running around all week putting up posters and things. That's correct. But I do it not because I want to get somebody elected into the provisional government. I do it because I want to get an ideology that we had in our first, in the sovereign constitution across the line. I know it was added again in 1922 in King George's constitution, and then it was taken away again in 1928 after that. But like, really, what I'm only interested in is direct democracy, because if we had direct democracy in this country, and we could get the Sovereign Republic of Ireland recognised by the other governments, it will be true direct democracy, where it will be the will of the people yet again. And that's what I work and fight hard for. In order, I see it, we have what we have today, and in order to change what we have back to what we had, you're going to have to put somebody into the lions, the beast of the, you're going to have to put them into the belly of the beast, and I'm backing Ben Gilroy and direct democracy in this upcoming deception. I call it a general deception, because that's mostly what it is. But like, at least we're going to have a go and see if we can get Ben Gilroy elected and see what effect one man can have when he can see the common sense of most things, you know. So like, that's what I'm trying for. And look, I believe that I'd like to leave behind the legacy of direct democracy. If that's all that I could leave behind from the 1919 constitution, is direct democracy, I'd be very happy with that, because then it's back to the people to recognise, have a referendum to recognise the 1919 Sovereign Republic of Era, and then we're back to where we were 100 years ago. But we're going to need to introduce, you always talk about there's tools in the system, Paul.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
They took this tool out, but we'd like to, they took it out of the box, but we'd like to put it back in again. And I believe that's what I see it as the only way forward to getting back to
well,
the sovereign.
Well, you see, again, Ray, it was taken out of the box. It's still out of the box. It's just learning how to use it properly. It's like anything else. We've lost the knowledge along the way. So even what we call the Constitution being a tool to use the their system, it's when to use or how to use and the correct way.
Exactly. Like, in all fairness, you can use the 1937 Constitution quite well if you know how, yeah?
Well, the 1937 can work, yeah, if you know how. it can operate in their system easier because it was set up by them. The harp on the front of that matches the harp over their head. Whereas if you go in with the 1919 Constitution with the Sovereign Seal, 12 strings, it doesn't match the 13 string hanging over their head.
Yeah.
The two of them don't match, so one of these is in the wrong place.
Yeah, so somebody's claiming something that they're not, yeah? So,
absolutely, and that's one of the tricks about, one of the things about bringing that in there and sort of pointing that out the right way.
Yeah, like the judge sits in there in the court and he says, I'm the highest in this court. And really all you have to say to him, well, I'm the son of the living God. How is that for being the highest, you know?
Well, absolutely. Look, if he said he's the highest judge in that court, well, he can be the highest judge all he wants. I'm the highest man.
That's it. That's where I come from. But you don't get away with that, Paulie, all the time either. If you want something, you have to go into their system and get it, don't you? You have to figure out how to go in there and get it.
Absolutely. But the thing is, it's all a mirror image as well.
Yeah.
So if they were set up and they're falsifying, they're walking under pretense, the illusion of a government, well, then it's up to you to spot
the deception,
and it's like the eight element of a contract, let he be deceived, be deceived. So if you go in there and spot the deception and point the deception out, well, you know, like they're going to want rid of you out of that court.
What they might do is, you might be saying, well, I'm the only sovereign here. And they might say, well, we're kind of sovereign enough, you know, and we won't be having it heard on the 1919. The question then that needs to be asked is, sovereign? Yeah.
In fairness as well, if you go in there, with the 1919, I don't think I should even get to the chance of talking about sovereign. Because straight away, once you enter that, I'd assume through your affidavit and stuff.
There's no affidavits when you win with the 1919, you just...
Well, if you're putting an affidavit in, you're going to notify them that you want that court heard under the 1919.
Yeah, you'd be putting them on notice that you want it heard under the
1919. Yes, so when you show up at that, I don't think they want to be hearing too much after that. They don't want the audience hearing too much. But at the same time, they're not going to just talk like me and you about it and say, oh, we don't accept the 1919 in here. We have no jurisdiction. You know, so they're going to look for a way of putting that across or giving you a clause out of it or testing it in a certain way and contracting you.
Yeah.
You know, and that way putting you down in front of others for not using it right. You know, people say, oh, well, it didn't work. Well,
didn't work because you didn't use it right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dead bone there. Yeah, like it's a notice rather than affidavit.
People, we talk about this and Mick O'Riordan will stand true on this, like a friend of mine down there in Cork, right? He has used the 1919 Constitution standing in the courts and the judge has, just conceded immediately. So those that say it doesn't work are getting themselves in trouble. I don't know how they're contracting. They must be opening their mouth and saying something, you know?
Well, absolutely.
You know, if you go in there and you hold the proclamation and the 1919 Sovereign Constitution with all the seals and everything on it, and you hold that there, you don't have to say anything. He knows what you've got. You know what I mean?
Well, that's it. If you don't understand the language and maybe you don't talk the language, just point at the book.
Yeah, I'm here.
Shrug your shoulders and keep pointing at the book.
you don't need to be talking, you know. We found that out ourselves in a little, we had 9 visits to the High Court, didn't we?
Yeah, 9 visits, Ray. From last July.
Yeah.
To get back on track, so.
Well, we're almost there, but that's basically where we are. But see how complicated it was to go in with that, where under 1919, you would just go in and say, well, there's no such thing as eviction under the 1919.
Yeah, well, again, if it was used correctly, it would have been used at the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and then again, if you're having a very good understanding and using correctly, correctly, would one need to, would one have to go to court if he didn't do no loss, harm, damage?
Well, there's the other thing, you see, but like, one might have a contract that, you know, that they nesciently signed, and like, it was something we were talking about earlier. It's the 1976 Family Home Act, I think it is what it is. And it's in that, it's where you actually, it's something you sign when you, everybody signs when they get a mortgage. And it's in there, you unknowingly recognize that you, and transfer your dwelling into a property.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, sorry, I have to think about this because I'm just familiarizing myself with it. But basically, basically what they will say, you knowingly signed the 1976 Act and you transferred your dwelling to, turned your dwelling from a dwelling to a property. So, basically, look,
well, basically, I made an honest mistake, you know, like I'd be Nessie and,
yeah, well, look, that's something that we may have to bring up in the future. But, like, for all of you who's there going into court, I would say, in the very near future, maybe you should look up Rule 17 and have a look at Form 7. And I won't say any more. Those of you that do, yeah, will know what I'm talking about. And those of you that don't will still be in the dark. But, like, as we said in this game, everybody has to work for what they want. And then if somebody looks it up and asks me a question about it, then we might talk a little bit more.
There's a thing here that I'd like you to explain. We're at to come across the word twice. The rule is Sejerarchy.
Certiorari, yeah.
Certiorari. Yeah, that's after popping up twice now along air travels with yourself.
Yeah.
So I'd assume people's going to come across that and going to be a little bit confused about it.
Well,
you know, and more so because it happened at the early stages.
That's right.
And then it was mentioned at the end. You know, so I think it could be significant in its own little right.
Yeah, like. There is something here. There is something on the public, on the internet about that. And I'm just going to pop a link. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to pop a link into, the chat box. And those can read it and see if they understand it, right? And this is the sort of thing, the complications you're getting into I'm just looking for that link, yeah, that you're getting into when you're going into the courts through their system. Because remember, I wanted something, so I had to go into their system to get it. Yeah. And the writ of certiorari was something that was used early in the process, but not by me.
No, it was the judge that used it to the other side, and then they asked if it was okay with you.
Yeah.
And at that stage, we didn't have an understanding of it.
Yeah.
And then. Then there last week it was in the summoning up. It was mentioned again. Then the rule of
yeah, it was. And the writ of certiorari. Yeah, I think it's something that people should look up. It is a tool that can be used within the court system to get things. Yeah,
yeah,
right. And maybe look, I was surprised. Look, I'm still surprised, and I'm still finding out about it, and I'm still learning about it. But it's definitely something people want to be looking into, because there's a lot of things in there, seemingly in their system, that they seem to be using anyway.
Yeah, but I think there's a key point here now as well for anybody that's been in there or does find themselves in the situation, and they're using the official offer in front of the court, and it does go like what your case done, as in the judge making an order. That doesn't change things, folks. That does not change things. You come out, you don't accept it, you let them know you don't accept, just say, "Judge, I don't accept." That's all you do, you tell them you don't accept, and when you come out of there, you continue the payments you are making beforehand before you went into that court.
Yeah.
And then you can go along and you can put in more if you want to go the paperwork way like Ray did. to try and get an appeal. And even within that, you, when you do that, like for anybody starting off the first time and stuff like that, you don't make accusations and that. You just need key points to look for a review, a judicial review, right, yeah?
Well, look, it was different for me because I reviewed due process, right? But like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, there's different reasons why you're going to be going for, but what people are going to be looking for, the next step will be a judicial review, isn't it?
Well, that's if they can prove that something, happened in their court case that shouldn't have happened. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Well, that'd be the reason why someone might think of going for an appeal. But what I'm saying is, it's not an appeal they're going to be going for. They're going to be chasing the line of a judicial review to get their appeal. That's the line that they're going to have to go down. And basically,
in some cases, court cases are decided wrongly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you need to challenge that decision. And when you need to challenge that decision, well, then you probably need to go to look at, there's many routes you can take. Yeah. But like the route that I took was judicial review. That's more or less what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And, it seemed to be the most apt for me at that time.
I think one of the key things in there now as well could be, if one's in the court and stuff like that and the decision's made and they ask for an appeal, if they feel they hadn't a due process or certain things within the case that they believed to be unworthy of a case or decisions unworthy to be made against them, when they're putting in this paperwork, it's based upon the case on what happened beforehand.
Yeah.
In there. But you have to, if you ask the judge for an appeal and you didn't get the appeal, that could be one of the reasons because you weren't granted an appeal. And in most cases or in all cases, you should be allowed an appeal.
Well, maybe so. They mightn't always grant you an appeal either, because if it's a clear-cut case, it's a clear-cut case, you know? Because we deal mostly with mortgages and everything like that, there's not one of them is clear-cut. You know, there's not one is clear-cut, you know? Every one that I've looked at, there's problems with it. If I want to delve really deep enough into it, there's massive problems with it. So really what we always have to try and look for is an overall solution.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like a solution for everybody, not just one person. Like I might be able to take with somebody's contract and go in there and find something wrong with it and get thrown out on that. Or maybe I might not. It might be good and I might not, or the person that we were at wouldn't have the skill to beat them. Yeah, but in other cases, really what we need to be looking for is something that fits everybody overall. Yeah, and that's what we'd be trying to do with the official offer. And I think it's a solution that can work for everybody.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things for people to learn as well, do not at any stage walk out of your home or your dwelling and hand in or hand over the keys to anyone.
Yeah, that'd be an important one.
There is always a solution out there. So never just walk out. Now, I know the pressure can be on a lot of people, and that's what the system's there for, to put pressure on us. But never walk out and hand over the keys. They need your consent for everything that's done within the dwelling. And they need your consent. They need you to hand it over.
Yes, that's correct, Polly. Everything on them courts, when we spoke earlier, when in 1919, when they set up the Dáil Éireann courts, they were under Brehon law. And when in 1922, they were switched back to British Accredited Registry. And that is legalese, and that is the colour of law. And if you look up the difference between the two of them, I suppose we're radio hosts, but we shouldn't be doing things for you. So we should actually let you educate yourselves. Look up the difference between, look up what is the colour of law and what is law. I suppose it would be would be a good one. And you might start getting an idea of what the actual legalese British accredited courts are.
And as Ray said there, he's a radio host. Me, myself, I come on the radio, I learn and I come on and I want to explain what I'm learning. So, so some things just might have to go off and read as ourselves, but I think it's all about the learning.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, look, I believe, look, there's no way other than to, like, people give me tips and clues to things along with the way. You pick them up everywhere. Yeah, even the judge gave me tips and things like that of what to look at. Yeah, and you pick up stuff along the way, but like they don't tell you.
No,
there's nobody going to hand you anything on a plate. And if you find yourself that you're going to have to defend, you are going to have to learn. Yeah, some of us can probably teach you what you need to find, but you're going to have to learn this stuff yourself, folks. There's it's the long and the short of it, and it's the way it is. And it is hard, and I'm not going to say it's not, but you still have to learn, and you have to, if that's what being sovereign is all about, dealing with your affairs. And
absolutely. No, on the other hand as well, Ray, look, if people were just weren't going out and learning themselves, or there was nothing to learn, their mind wouldn't be active.
No, look,
and then it's back to just believing in what someone else says. You know, so people need to do research, and it's good for the brain, keep it active. You learn something that someone else doesn't know, come back and share that knowledge. You know, so all that comes into account and matters big as well.
Yeah. You have to look at, there's no point in going in there and not understanding what certain things are. Yeah, not having, when I say understanding, I don't mean standing under. I mean that you don't have an understanding of what certain things are. I think you need to be looking up certain things about what it is you are and what sort of court you're going into. And no, like we talk about 1919 and the sovereign constitution, but like I wouldn't be advising anybody or telling anybody to go running into the courts with that in the morning if they don't know how to use it.
Absolutely. Well, it's, I wouldn't be giving anybody advice. I'd give them a solution.
No, neither would I. I might make comment.
Yeah, and I'd give solutions. It's up to them sometimes to walk them solutions out. Well, you know, because it's easy enough for somebody even to talk about a solution. But
yep.
If you haven't got an understanding of the reason of that solution, don't try it.
Yeah. If you don't know why you're doing something, don't do it. Yeah? You need to know why. Because, like, yeah, that's the question. That's the question nobody can answer. It just is. But why? You know? You need to know why you're doing things. Are you gone, Polly?
No, I was listening to you there. Sorry.
No, sorry. You always have to get the why of something, right? That's my opinion now. Look at, again, it is my opinion, and I have a blog called It's My Opinion, and My Opinion Only, actually, is what it's called. And that's what they are. Nobody has to follow my opinion. I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not trying to prove it or anything like that. This is just what I think, you know. And if people don't share what they think, well, then the others don't learn, you know.
And there's a difference there. Now, when we're talking about 1916 and stuff like that, we're talking about history.
Yes.
Oh, so there's a difference. That's not opinion. Well, it is opinions as well, unless on
set. Well, some of it is, yeah, because like to us, it's all hearsay. We can only research what we can find, you know?
Absolutely. So one must go by their own research and their own belief and understanding of that then as well. So when we talk about that, we are talking about it as history and stuff like that. When we're talking about other things within the legal system and all that, it's solutions that we're walking on, and sometimes them solutions refer back into a political situation, as in licenses and the structure of the courts and stuff. But at the same time, solutions.
Yeah, always solutions. Look, there's no point in trying to move forward towards something. Okay, you can fix something temporarily that might limp by. But like, if it's only a temporary fix, it's going to break again. Yeah. Because temporary is not permanent. You know, it's like provisional, you know, it's a temporary fix, you know. So really what if you're going to chase a solution, maybe you do need a temporary fix, but you still have to come up with a solution, a permanent solution to the problem. And that's what I always try to work towards. Sometimes, yeah, I go in and I'm looking for things for myself, but I'll always be working towards a solution for everybody and a solution to fix our problem. No point in half doing a job. Like they said, if you're going to do it right, you know.
Well, and that's why. As Billy says, they are being sovereign as being honourable and doing something right.
Yeah, it's not a half-arsed job.
Absolutely, and doing something right comes in all shapes that was within our life. Do you know what I mean? Whether it be helping neighbours, whether it be standing up in front of the courts and doing the right thing there.
There's many, many, many acts of kindness we can commit every single day if we want to, yeah? And it's not a hard thing to do. It's as easy to commit an act of kindness as it is to commit an act of thuggery or unpleasantness to another human. It's just as easy to be kind. So like, that's something that I try to do every day. I try to be kind to other people. Because acts of kindness, they get rewarded back that people are nice in return, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm just reading the chat box there, folks. Sometimes I see Jerry do nothing. Is it not the case, Ray and Cotty, that the judge cannot hear a case under the 1919 Constitution? Well, I don't know whether he can or he can't. You know, I suppose, I don't know, I haven't heard of one being heard.
As I pointed out earlier on, the 1919 Constitution, the sovereign seal and that, has 12 strings, and the judges sitting underneath a harp with 13 strings, so...
Yeah, but he might take an oath, Paul, to uphold it that day.
He might take an oath to uphold it that day, well, he's either sitting underneath a crown, or he's not...
But he's not. I understand that, but, like, Susan Denham is appointed to the office, isn't she? She might decide to go in one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, might... Until then,
I'm just saying it could happen.
Until then, the way I see it, one, he's got 13 strings over him.
Yeah.
And there's 12 strings in front of him. Pick one.
Yeah, well, like you see, he might pick one, you know?
Yeah. You know, and he might try and deceive you that he's picked yours.
Yeah, he might.
So, the answer to that question, a judge has no right or power or authority underneath the 1919 Constitution.
No, he hasn't. As far
unless it's in a sovereign court.
Well, as far as I know, he hasn't, right? And that's
the 1919 Constitution should have no business in there in a civil matter.
In anyhow, yeah, that's exactly right, in any shape or form.
You know, so to be going in there in a civil matter, if you bring the 1919 Constitution in there, no, a judge cannot hear that and should not hear it because it's not a civil matter.
Yeah, if people want to get an understanding of what the 1919 courts are like, they should probably start looking into a bit of old Brehon law. Yeah?
Yeah.
Wouldn't do you any harm. Like, I don't get enough time to look at it myself, but I do love to read about the Brehons. And again, it's another tip for all you people there listening to people on People's Internet Radio. Start listening to the old Brehon or having a read of the old Brehon law and things like that. You'll find the logic in it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Well,
Go on, Paulie. I was running out of things to say anyway.
Yeah, no. It was just brought to me there about Brehon law has the 13 strings. 13 string came from Brehon law.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, it depends on, yeah.
Yeah, but it also represents the crown, does it not? The 13 string.
Well, it represents the courts, the crown courts, yeah.
As it was put to me as well, which I do remember, is the 13 is the hanging string the hangman's string, the talk around.
Yeah.
I forget that man's name. The fella with
Judas.
The fella with the big chubby neck.
Oh, right. The Torta Moran you're thinking of there, yeah?
Yeah, Torta Moran.
Yeah.
It's not the crown. So that's where my mistake there, folks, you see. And that's where we still learn. So,
yeah.
Feckall got to do with the crown.
Who's telling you it's Feckall today? I'm not reading the chat box. I'm rolling a cigarette.
But as I said there, look, folks, it's great learning all the way.
Yeah.
But the Tortian string, I mean, that comes from old Breton law, so it is.
Yeah, and it's the Judas string, it's known as, yeah?
Yeah, and it was the talk.
The Torta Moran, we're getting into the Torta Moran. That was a famous Brehon that really couldn't tell a lie. And the reason they call it that is, if he did tell a lie, he had this fleshy bit around his neck and that would start to swell and it would start to actually choke him. So, the Torta Moran, there you go.
So he was choking on his own lies, he was. You know?
Right, so little things that they pick up along the way, yeah.
absolutely.
You know, so that's really where we are. Where were we? We were going to talk about something else earlier, Paul, and I can't remember what it was. We discussed that we might have a little chat about. Oh, I remember now. Yeah, the pawnbroker.
Yeah, like. Right, when you get your mortgage, say for instance, one gets their mortgage from Ulster Bank. Now, if one of these vulture funds have you in court and they're saying, we own your mortgage and you're not paying your contract, we want you out. Yeah? Is that the way it goes?
Well, that's kind of the way it goes, yeah.
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 Now you're still paying off your original mortgage, Ulster Bank. So it's a bit like the pawnbroker. If I had something in a pawnbroker, I'd go down there every day or every week and I would pay for whatever's in the pawnbroker. It'd be a bit like your deeds in there.
Yeah.
So I'm paying away for my deeds in the pawnbroker. Now, what happens if I come into the lotto tomorrow? Do you know what I mean? Or say for instance, I was at a party the night before, and if the pawnbroker had, as I say to you, had, say for instance, lovely fancy watch, then the pawnbroker was one of a kind, I'm at a party one night, see this watch, looks exactly like mine, the man tries to sell me and all that, tells me he bought it out of a pawnbroker, and I'm thinking, heck. So I gathered the money, go down to the pawnbroker the next day, even though I've been in there every week and haven't broke my contract, and go in the next day and give him the money for my watch, he can't produce it, can he?
No.
So why is he taking money off me every week?
Well, you see, I don't want to be giving people loads, but like they have to start thinking logically like this. That's actually the same way as a mortgage works, right?
Yeah.
So
if they've done the switcheroo on you,
yeah, you might want to see the goods. Like, if I was going down and paying the pawnbroker every week for a one-of-a-kind watch, yeah? And then I seen somebody else with it on them at a party, I might go down the next day and you say, well, hey, you know that watch I'm paying off there, yeah? Can you show it to me? Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? You know, like, yeah, here, I have all the money to pay for that watch that I bought a few weeks ago.
All the receipts here. I have all the receipts here where I've been coming in every month here.
Yeah.
Paying off. I know I don't have to be here for another 20 years, but
yeah.
I might be coming into a few pound next week,
yeah.
And I'd like to see the goods.
Yep.
Yeah. And if, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you might want to see the deed of trust with the staple schedule on the property, you know, behind it, you know?
Yeah. So if you sold it.
Who's got it?
Who's got it, and if the other side have it, why is the pawnbroker still taking your money?
And what did the other side buy?
And what's he doing with your money?
Yeah, I would go back to singing, what did the other side buy? Did they buy the loan? right? Loan means lent. Lent is spent. So what is it that they bought? You know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, the loan is the action, yeah? You can't buy an action.
Back to, sorry, just something important there as well. Very good point, which has been mentioned plenty of times on PIO, and again, sometimes we forget things. Because the sovereign government was never disbanded, because the sovereign government was never disbanded, they have the sovereign seal in the courts in case a sovereign man enters sovereignty. That'd be true.
That's true,
Ray, in the high courts, is it not? But in the administrative courts these days, all they have is a crest on the wall with a harp.
Well, like, you've been in Trim Court. What is it in Trim Court?
Well, that's
it's carved out harp on a piece of wood, which it doesn't even have a circle and there's no area. There's no sovereign seal in that court.
No, but when you go up to the high courts up in Dublin and that, you'll find the sovereign seal sitting on the wall up there.
In some of them, yeah.
Yeah, but in most administrative courts these days, they've just got the harp. Near enough like the Guinness one, doesn't it? Nearly got it like that these days.
Yeah, come here, there's some abominations up there hanging over some of their heads and some of the courts. Like, they nearly put a horseshoe up there. They thought they could get away with it, you know?
But back to, one should question, why is the bank or the pawnbroker taking money off me?
Yeah.
Every week.
If he hasn't got the goods.
If he hasn't got the goods. And I agreed that I'll have it paid off within 20 years' time. I'll come in every month. I'll pay an X amount. So, yeah. And like most pawnbrokers, if you go in and pay something, they might put extra interest and all that on it.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you keep going in.
Yeah.
But so, if I come into the money next week, or if I knew I was coming into money next week, I was being awarded money or whatever it may be.
Might have been getting that rich uncle might have died and left you a few bob.
Yeah, no, it'd be the same way as when you're doing the official offer and you walk out your expenses and you tell them what you can afford due to your expenses and your incomings and your outgoings. Also, you'll notify them if I come into any money, as in wills, win, you know, stuff like that, or the lotto. If I come into any sort of money, I will sort out my affairs type thing, yeah?
Yeah.
So if you're notifying them all that in the official offer, that you're willing to do all that, what happens if you have the money and you go in?
Yeah, you see, now you're going to be looking for something that they haven't got. Now, I see a question Dell has put there in the box. He says, administrative courts. I thought they were civil or criminal. They are. They're all civil. Everything in them administrative courts is civil because it's all about contract.
Yep. And then from the civil, one gets themselves put up into criminal.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, like, you're served with a civil bill, so the process is civil, yeah? That's it, like, and when you go in there, you're accepting the rules and regulations of an administrative court, mostly. Well, that's what the Land and Conveyancing Act does in 2013. It says that the courts can hear the case against your house on a 50-50, on a contract, basically, yeah? And basically, since they're the plaintiff, it's a 50-50 court, and if you're not able to refute what's on the civil bill, well then, they will give a piece of paper to somebody else to say that they're taking your house.
Absolutely. I thought that was funny the way you said that. It says, the court can hear.
Yeah.
I think one should rephrase that to, it reads, the court can hear.
The court can't read.
And the court can't hear. You know, but it says the court can hear.
It can't talk either, so it can't really do a lot, but that's semantics. But, yeah, look at, it is what it is. When you're in an administration court, the process is civil, but you should probably nail that down, you know, by asking the question, civil or criminal.
Absolutely.
I suppose, like, if you're going into, like, people with road traffic offences, that's when they're going into the criminal courts, they should be asking, is the offence civil or criminal? They're the real people that should be going in for. But then again, don't be asking that question if you don't know what to do after that.
Well, yeah. I was going to say there, one must learn what is civil and what is criminal.
Yeah, and what is law.
It's not very hard. We say it every other week on here. Anyway, we have 8 minutes to go. Ray, I enjoyed again this week. It was great having Billy on and listening to good information there.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. I always enjoy Billy. And he rings me now and again and has a chat, but like the information really, I have the 1919 stuff kind of down, and the real information I'd like Billy Maguire, if he's listening, to give me is the information on the harp and how it works and what each string is, and maybe teach us all.
Well, so that I do
knowledge
believe,
is not lost.
Well, I do believe, I think Billy and the IRB and other members of it and all that, like Rob, they run like a class or something every so often, and they teach all this information. So if people want to log into www.billymaguire.com, and I think if you go into Billy's page, Billy's Facebook page and stuff, there'll be events with seminars and stuff, whatever you want to call them.
Right, okay.
There's a request in there. Can Cotty sing us out? Well, I probably could, I probably couldn't. It's private at the moment, and I won't. So there's a statement there at the end of that, I won't. But I want to thank everybody for listening in there tonight.
Yeah, it was a great show. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy doing shows with you, Paul. We should do this more often. But
absolutely. We've another couple of weeks before the big man gets back with his new tan on his head. I hope it doesn't sizzle out the brain. He's away on holidays there. I hope the sun doesn't sizzle out his brains in Balbriggan. But look, we're going to play out a song in a minute, folks. We enjoyed the chat. I've been Paul Cotty.
I've been Ray Hall.
You've been listening to the Vin Show on a Sunday night. Look forward to chatting to you all again next week. Enjoy the guests tonight. Enjoy the people in chat. All the best for now.
Night night, folks. See you all again next week.